Tobacco Settlement Data Sharing, an act relating to the Wyoming Tobacco Settlement Fund.
Senate File 97, having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 107.
Senate File 107, sponsored by Senator Perkins, Probate Code Amendments, an act relating to the probate.
Senate File 107, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 123.
Senate File 123, sponsored by Senator Boner, School Nutrition Pilot Project, an act relating to school district operations.
Senate File 123, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 132.
Senate File 132, sponsored by Senator Bebout, Endow Initiative, an act relating to economic diversification.
We have amendments. Representative Summers. Okay. I'm going to move second reading amendment number one and second reading amendment number two behind amendments number five. So let's take up second reading amendment number three. Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number three to Senate File 132, and I ask for your favorable consideration. All right. Friends, what this amendment does, and it looks complicated, but it isn't really, is that it moves the funding for Endow from LISRA, where it is right now, to unrealized capital gains that are coming in on June 30th. And so we've seen this language before. We addressed it when we were talking about the budget. And if you remember, there was a long amendment at the end that had a variety of projects. And then the remainder was put into a school foundation, right? And there was the absolute recognition that this money is coming in and that we have not addressed it at all in this body. So instead of spending money out of the LISRA, what we can do is capture a small amount, $2.5 million, from that amount and keep the LISRA where it is today. And so with that, I'd ask your favorable consideration.
Okay.
Before the speaker gets down, question?
Speaker Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Now, members, I'd urge you to vote no, and the real reason is, let's just think about how the money flows in the LISRA. So we have a refueling mechanism that we put into statute a year, or actually 2 years ago, and that's at 1.25% of the SPA, of the spending policy amount. So 1.25% of the 5% that we hope we get. And this, the first 2.5% we now guarantee to the general fund. So let's just kind of go back in time a few years ago. I mean, there was real pressure to never appropriate from the LISRA account. So 2015, we have a $200 million shortfall. The price of oil drops from 110 down below 70. In the 60s, all the experts came, said it'll hover at 60, 65, and then it dropped down. We had Wyoming oil in the teens. And so there was a $200 million shortfall. And so there was basically $186 million ready to flow into the LISRA to make it nearly $2 billion. Remember, we were going to have a $2 billion LISRA, and it never became $2 billion because we spent that portion that was going to refill or fill the LISRA. That was before we have this mechanism now. We used to just kind of hope we would have these capital gains. We now plan on and we hope for refueling. We have a permanent mechanism in statute to do this. And so now we're in a different time. We're now in where we need the stabilization fund. And, you know, we had this debate, and we had some words thrown out, slush fund, this and that. I don't believe any of that. I think this is a fund to try to stabilize the general fund, school capital construction, local governments, all those things that we appropriated last year to try to continue some of our operations. It's what we saved the money for. And so what this does is it doesn't really affect anything except it violates the discipline. And I would hope that we would start this discipline that we know there's going to be a drawdown on the LISTRA. And we say, well, what is that, 8-10 years? We're going to debate those. And we can say, well, it's 8%. But if we get refueling, if we get capital gains, it'll only be a 6% drawdown. And I think that's the discussions we got to have, not whether we're going to start violating the discipline and snipping away at the refueling piece of this thing. In the end, it doesn't matter. I mean, other than it violates the discipline. And, you know, and you younger members who will be here over the next several years as this drawdown, unless we ever, and I'm confident, I'm hopeful we'll have a rebound like all cycles happen, but I just don't want us to violate that discipline. I think times have changed when we didn't want to be the first legislature to ever appropriate out of the LISTRA. Well, we've already gone there. Now let's institute the policy of, yeah, we have these slow drawdowns to try to get an 8-10 year drawdown, but we know we've got refueling on this side to maybe extend that drawdown. And so this is one little chink in the armor of that discipline. And so I just really encourage us to vote no because it, again, I think discipline in these matters is important. So thank you.
Chairman Zwanitor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I also think discipline is important, and I agree with the good speaker. The discipline was we never appropriate money out of the LSRA fund, and that's been the historic 10-year discipline until we had to violate that. But I guess once the door goes open, it's a slippery slope, and now we just appropriate out of the LSRA. And in the end of the grand scheme, it doesn't really matter. We can take the money before it goes in the LSRA, or we can let the money go into the LSRA and take it back out. But it's really about the kind of the public policy, the philosophical thing that you want to go back to your constituents with is do we take money out of our rainy day funds for this project or do we stop money from going into the rainy day fund for this project? Now, this is investment earnings that, you know, we're trying to build this Endow initiative to diversify our economy, and I think it makes sense that we made some good investment choices. This is the interest we're getting off those investment choices. And it seems more appropriate to me than taking money out of our rainy day fund. It looks better, I think, on the goldenrod, most certainly.
Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, and want to echo those comments on and for the amendment. I think the only discipline that we're breaking is we're now starting to go into the LSRA. That was the real discipline. Real discipline is do not touch the LSRA. Well, we're appropriating out of the LSRA, so I think it's more disciplined to not touch the LSRA, and again it makes no difference I suppose whether we're going after funds that are going into the LSRA or if we're taking money out of the LSRA, the effect is going to be the same, but I think this is better policy. So on and for the amendment.
For your first time, Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. On and against the amendment, based on the aspect that we are, essentially this is the same money. The difference is one is unrealized, one is a known source. So if we're going to be using this money for this initiative, at least have it as a known source of revenue and not unrealized. So on and against the amendment.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I just echo the last speaker's comments. What makes me really nervous when we start appropriating something that we don't have, and I know we can talk about the whole budget process and everything else, but we have really resisted appropriating unrealized capital gains, and I would really encourage us to defeat this.
Any others for their first? Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. I'm not sure what I feel about this one. What I would rather have had it say is that if there's any capital gains realized that is above and beyond the spending policy amount that would normally go into the reserve, account, then I would, I guess I'd probably be for it. But I kind of agree with this, with the speaker, that we shouldn't be splitting hairs between the LSRA and the general fund. To me, if the money is there, we fund it. If the money is not realized, we don't fund this endowed program, you know. And that makes it real easy to vote on. I guess we'll see what the rest of the body thinks, but if there's any positive vibes I get, I might bring that on the third.
For your first time, Representative Obermueller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First for a second.
Anyone else for their first? Anyone else for their first? Moving to the second, Chairman Zwanitzer.
Well, thanks, Mr. Chairman. First, in regards to what one of the former appropriations members said, we're already appropriating 1.25 in the SIPA, same money. You know, 1.25 goes to the LSRA, 1.25 goes to the SIPA. We've appropriated that both last year and this year already. So I guess I would push back that we this isn't appropriate because we're already doing it. But here's maybe a better example that would be more real life to all of us. Hopefully you're all getting a tax refund. You're getting money back for whatever reason. So you have some bills. Do you spend the money from your savings account to pay your bills, or do you take the money from your tax return and you put that sum to your bills before you put the rest in savings? I'd submit to you, most of us and most every consumer in Wyoming would say, hey, I get some investment income from either your stocks, your bonds, your tax return, whatever. This is a necessary place to pay money into. Let's pay it from, you know, your tax return, your investment income, instead of going through your savings account and paying it out of your savings account. I think that's just more appropriate.
Anyone else for their second? Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Majority Floor Leader. So just turning back to the amendment, and I think this is important. If you go to the amendment and go to line number 12, which would otherwise be deposited to the Legislative Stabilization Reserve account. Why are we doing this? It's the same money. Let's just go ahead and keep the bill the way it is. Like I said, the difference is between the way the bill is now and the way the amendment is realized and unrealized. Stick with the bill, that's realized revenue.
Anyone else before the sponsor? Anyone else? Speaker Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. I do think that the discipline is key, because when I spoke about the $186 million that we intercepted, we never had a policy to refuel. We now have a statutory policy. We have it in our law that we're going to try, if capital gains occur, that we will refuel this account. I think that's really important going forward. As far as appropriating SIPA, again, that's again why we put that there, and I think that is a strategic investments project account. And those appropriations are all contingent. And that's what we plan on. Well, there's always going to be big projects. We're going to have to build prisons and mental hospitals and those kind of things. And so I think to compare those, I understand how you would compare them, but it's different. I think we want to count on that and try to hold this discipline on this refueling as we move forward. Finally, I would just say the appropriation. Could have just said general fund. There are no general funds. We're a deficit. And so we could have said general fund and done a budget balancer at the, you know, the last section 300 of the budget to balance it, which would come out of LSRA to balance the budget. And I just think this is more forthright, right up front. We're gonna appropriate it out of a place where we have some money. And finally, I would just say we cut the business council by $2.5 million. Now, we had this conversation yesterday. That's not a direct link, but there was certainly a testimony link on those actions by our committee number two with the joint committee down the hall to do that. So, again, I just would hope that you, particularly new folks, are going to be here and be kind of the guardians of this policy moving forward, that we maintain this discipline. And just appropriate it straight up, not any other stuff on the backside of it. So on and against. Thank you.
Representative Obermueller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I also have been studying this spending policy reserve account and how the money moves through, and I'm also against the amendment, and basically for the same reason as the previous speaker. I think it makes more sense to fuel the account and then appropriate out of the account. It's a lot easier to follow, a lot easier to explain. Thank you.
Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thanks for the good debate. Let me see if I can kind of move through four or so comments. One from the good chairman of revenue who wanted to know about the spending policy amount. And you'll see that there's a statutory reference, 94719Q, which exactly answers the good chairman's concern. That right there says that the earnings from the Permanent Wyoming Mineral Trust Fund during each fiscal year, which are less than the spending policy amount established, are appropriated from the general fund. And so it goes on and very specifically talks about that spending policy amount. And so hopefully that makes him feel good and gives him good feelings as he had asked for, because it's right there. The second question, these get to more philosophical regarding, you know, violating the discipline. The reality is this is exactly what we did, and our good speaker, honestly, was the mastermind of using these unrealized capital gains to the tune of $180 million over the past 3 years for capital construction projects around the state. All right. We've been doing this. Those projects are now fully funded and done. We will have $83 million that will be available June 30th that we have not profiled. It has been a policy choice that we don't profile that money, but that money will be available on June 30th. So the other good representative said, why? It looks like, you know, the money is just going to be, we're going to kind of grab it before it dumps in to the LSRI. And the answer is yes, that's exactly what's going on. All right? That would be exactly what's going on. But I don't want to go home and say that, you know, we have money coming in when we have cut so much. Right? We should be spending out of that money that we know is coming in. And importantly, because we want the rainy day account to actually be that. I don't want to be nickeling and diming out of the rainy day account. I want to be thinking about how to use it strategically for the deficit that we have right now. To me, that's important. I don't want $2.5 million for this and $500,000 for that. We have that money coming in. We should be expending it, and we should be thinking about the LISRA for taking care of that significant deficit. So that's why I brought this amendment. It really does capture that money before it would tip into the LISRA on July 1st. So on and in favor of this amendment, and I hope you agree.
Okay, question being called. All those in favor of second reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 132, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
The noes have it. We're on to amendment number 4. Representative Connolly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. All right, this is a completely different amendment. All right, if you remember yesterday, we had a discussion about the language that is in the bill regarding what the committee should look at for the Endow Initiative. And in fact, if we had done our second reading amendment number 2, which we'll do later, we're going to add back in that language of existing, new, and emerging economic sectors and subsectors, right? I like that language. That language is great. But then it was kind of the will of the body, or at least the sentiment of the body, that we wanted the laundry list as well. I like this. To me, this language is inclusive enough, the existing, new, and emerging economic sectors and subsectors. But if we are going to have a laundry list, I'm going to encourage us to pass second reading amendment number 4 to Senate File 132, which I move, so I've just moved it, because it is far more inclusive than the listing that we have currently in the bill. So I came up with this list after asking for some real quick and dirty research by our research staff in order to understand our current economic sectors and how many people are employed in each of them. And so please know that mining employs 7.7% of our workforce and manufacturing 2.9% of our workforce for a total of 10.6%. All of those laundry list items, with the exception of one, fall under mining and manufacturing. Right? The only one that didn't was the food distribution one. And so it occurred to me that we are not tapping into where most people are working right now and that we need to do so. And so there are approximately 20 different economic sectors, official economic sectors. I got that list, and I included in the amendment before you those that employ many people in the state and are those that we could consider kind of expanding for what the kind of the general idea of the Endow initiative is. So we're going to go into information technology, we're going to go into services including the financial sector, it's and things like that, so that we're not simply doing in some ways what some would say is more of the same, right? Staying within kind of the mining, extractive, and manufacturing sectors, which again only employ 10% of our population. So I would encourage you to pass this amendment so that we kind of expand that laundry list so that there is careful consideration of way that we can expand outside of what we're doing currently.
Representative Larson, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And folks, I'd really encourage you to resist this amendment. The intent of the of this bill is to look at these large projects that can really add value to the resources in emerging sectors of the state. Now, up to this point, we've used with what I feel has been very successful efforts with the Wyoming Business, with the Business Council to help new businesses and help a lot of different emerging businesses come into the state. And I think that that's really where this list that the good sponsor of this amendment falls into. I think that food services, arts, entertainment, and recreation all fall well within the scope and the design of what the Business Council does. This is what we're doing here with this bill, with the Endow, is to step above that and to look more globally on the state and see what we can do that has a greater impact and how we can prepare for those impacts and how we can develop those industries and those emerging that are bigger than what the Business Council alone can do. And so I think pretty soon we could we could add dog grooming in here, and we could add a number of other things. And I'm not trying to be cynical or condescending, but most of this stuff that is in this laundry list here, well-being as it may be, really already has a place that it can be addressed. And it is important, and it can, but we've already got a place for it.
Chairman Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. These are very important business sectors in the state of Wyoming, and I think as we've worked on committee number 9 over the years, we've worked hard to structure our statutes to work in this finance area and with trust in the states. But that being said, I'm going to vote no on the amendment because I need to have the body look at page 8 in the Romanet 3 that we're talking about. And we're sitting there. The report shall, on page 8, or line 18, the report shall identify specific areas which should be designated as business development and innovative zones. Now, we're looking at, just as a prior speaker said, are these zones, and we're going through here and talking about the types of zones we want to look at, and we're looking at these value-added type of zones. Now, I submit to you, these very important sectors to our economy and to our state are throughout our state. And that's not, it's just in the wrong place in the bill. So I would encourage a no vote.
Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I think I'm just going to pile on and make the statement that I appreciate what the bill is contemplating. It's contemplating these keystone industries that have helped the state through the years, and now we would be diffusing this effort into a laundry list that, as one has already said, would possibly be incomplete. It doesn't involve dog grooming. But a step beyond that, I think it also takes the effort that this bill is trying to do and diffuses it way too far. So on and against the amendment.
Representative Giroux.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Let's spend a bit of time with the governor's office and his staff talking about this very important project, which I am 100% behind. And one of the things that really captured my imagination about the project at its inception was the possibility about new and emerging industries, new and emerging businesses that right now that are out there on the cutting edge and maybe just a little bit out of our view today. And when I looked at this language in the bill, I was saddened because it felt like to me we were putting sideboards on something, that we were putting sideboards on this issue and starting to limit ourselves. And like I say, I think that one of the greatest promises of this Endow initiative is that we don't do that, that we look upon new possibilities and across the frontier to things we can't see. So I'm going to push back gently and try to urge the body to support this well-thought and amendment that I am warming up to. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone else for their first time? For their second time? Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In my first comments, I made a comment about adding dog grooming in there. So, you know, I think that was just really inappropriate on my part to make that statement. And so I'd like to express my apologies to the good bringer of the amendment. No offense was intended in saying that, but it was nonetheless, I think it was inappropriate, and hope that she'll accept that apology. And I would still ask you to defeat this amendment.
Anyone else for their second time before the sponsor? Madam Minority Floor Leader.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And actually, first I'm going to kind of accept the apology of my good colleague from the Appropriations Committee. But honestly, to take it seriously, because it was honestly an offensive comment to the majority of workers in this state who work in the service sectors. And that's one of the things that I did find out with getting that summary of where do people work in this state as well as elsewhere in the country is in the service sector. And the thought of how we can expand the service sectors, whether it be financial, professional services, information technology, that's a really important element of the inclusion of the additional elements for the Endow program. And so I would encourage you to support this amendment, but also to remind you that yesterday when we talked about the bill, we were encouraged to come up with more, not less, when it came to the laundry list. In fact, again, I was the one who argued that we don't need the laundry list, that when you have that nice clause, right, new and emerging industries, we didn't need to start getting to that level of specificity. But if we are going to have that list, I think we really need to include these other really important sectors of our economy to assure that they get the attention they deserve by the Endow initiative. So I'd encourage your support.
We are on second reading amendment number 4 to Senate file 132. Question being called. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
The noes have it. We are now on second reading amendment number 5. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move House reading second reading amendment number 5 to Senate file 132 and ask for your favorable consideration. Folks, a little bit of this will be familiar from yesterday. I'm bringing my amendment back in a new and friendlier fashion. Just to go through it briefly, because you heard it yesterday, on page 6, in taking out the word large and changing it to defined because not everything takes up a lot of space. The same word there for local, which we talked about yesterday. I had some discussion afterwards with people about whether everything was an industry, and I suppose if you want to be technical, putting your data in the cloud is an industry, but that's not what we necessarily think of, and so I was trying to broaden the group's thinking of this. Page 8, line 14, the same situation with economic sectors. But the seeing as we're open to the laundry list today, I just want to point out the main part. On page 8, line 15, inserting international trade after the word infrastructure, and then on the top of page 9, line 2, after inland distribution ports, inserting international trade. And the reason I bring this into this subject is because international trade is something that about 20% of our state's domestic product has something to do with export, between $1 and $2 billion a year. And it does specifically fit into the concept of the zone. And the reason that international trade generally works well with the zone concept is because you've got the transportation issue. You can see where I fit it with the distribution ports. We've got airports. We've got free trade zones that we can do. And also because this way we can take opportunities with export assistance for the various manufacturing sectors. And I think it's a good idea for us to be able to take advantage of the good steps that we have taken in this state to not just manufacture things in state, adding value, which is a great thing, and selling it around the country, but to really put ourselves on a more global stage as far as revenue for the people of the state, the businesses of the state, and the people. So I think that this is a valuable amendment and broadens our perspective a little bit and actually takes advantage of some of the assistance that really is helpful to the people that are doing this sort of exporting. So I ask for your favorable consideration and call for the question if there are none.
Question.
Any discussion? Question being called. We're on second reading amendment number 5 to Senate File 132. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No.
No.
I think we're going to have to go to a standing vote. So all those in favor, please stand. All those opposed, please stand. And seeing less than 39, the amendment passes. We are now on second reading amendment number 6 to Senate File 132, Representative Gray.
I move second reading amendment number 6 to Senate File 132. What this amendment does, in an amendment yesterday, we kind of changed the one reference in this bill to studying the effects of the tax burden in our state on economic diversification. And so I want to put back more explicitly that that's going to be studied. So just going from the amendment that they're going to study the deleterious effect of tax increases on economic development. So this basically reinserts that we're going to look at how tax increases affect economic development and economic diversification, which I think is a conversation that we don't have enough in this body. Thank you.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. I don't think this amendment is appropriate. It contains within it a value judgment. We try to keep value judgments and things like this out of that. I think if the deleterious word wasn't in there, it would probably make sense, but it's not a foregone conclusion in view of the fact that there are states, almost every state with higher taxes or have taxes that develop faster than we do. much faster. So the correlation that the sponsor of this bill is alleging is kind of a fairy tale.
Representative Lone.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and for this amendment, I only wish the bringer of this amendment would have included fees in it.
Any further discussion? Anyone else for their first time? Anyone else for their second time before the sponsor? Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to assure you that there are tons and tons of economic studies showing that the effect of increased taxes is the fact that it's going to hurt economic growth. It's a principle in economics that is a basic one. And I think that putting this in there, that they're going to study the effects of proposed tax increases, because we passed one out of this body and there's a lot of talk about them. Now, I'm opposed to them, but I think that we should have some discussion about its effects on economic diversification, because we don't get that discussion that often. So please vote for this amendment.
Okay, we're on second reading amendment number 6 to Senate File 132. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The noes have it. We're on second reading amendment number 1. Whip Summers.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, thank you. And because one of the other amendments passed, I can withdraw second reading amendment number 1.
Thank you, Representative Summers. So now we're on second reading amendment number 2, Majority Whip Summers.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, thank you. I would like to move second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 132 and ask for your favorable consideration. So once again, this goes into page 9, and if you go in there, page 9, line 4, after development, it simply inserts. And so this in fact is in that section on potential zones. So we have changed large geographic areas to defined geographic areas. And what I wish to insert is that language of insert existing, new, and emerging economic sectors and subsectors. So as we look at these development zones, I think it's important, you know, if you look at a zone could be a large business park near a big town and big city in Wyoming, or big town, however view our municipalities, or it could be, you know, an area around a university or a community college that might have some high-tech industries. And I think it's really important to look out in the future here and say in 20 years, because this plan, this bill, and in the endow, rightfully so, looks out 20 years. So I think we want to ensure that we capture these new emerging economic sectors. And they may well and likely will, a lot of them, be related right to our natural resources. It's all part and parcel. So I just want to make sure we kind of capture that emerging economic sectors piece. So on in support of the amendment.
Any discussion? We're on second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 132. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Ayes have it. Senate File 132 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered.
Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 156.
Senate File 156, prime sponsor, Senator Perkins, State Government Efficiencies, an act relating to administration of government.
We have amendments. Representative, the Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move second reading amendment number 1 to 156. Ask for its favorable introduction. Most of you already heard my stipulations on this on the last bill that we talked about this issue. However, what this does, two parts. One is take the money from the revenues otherwise being deposited in the LSRA, but it also drops it down to $250,000 from the original $500,000 contemplated in the bill. I'm a strong supporter of the bill. I think we're going to find a lot of efficiency studies. I just don't think I can go back to my district and say I kept putting money in the rainy day account while taking money out of it. And it just is one of those things, I think, in my community, when I talk to people on the street, that it's just difficult for me to go back and justify to them. And if that's the will of the body, I will do that. But I don't think I could do that without saying I at least tried when I do think there's a better revenue source for a lot of these ideas. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
For the first time. Chairman Madden.
I just need to be clear. I didn't have a chance. I've been so busy. I haven't had a chance to look at 94719Q. Is this amount that you're talking about, the $250,000, is that part of the portion of the spending policy amount that goes into the LSRA, or is it other amounts in excess of the spending policy amount that otherwise would go into the LSRA?
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I just give some general pushback. This is the same exact amendment we saw on the prior piece of legislation. This is catching unrealized revenues before they're swept into LISRA. Essentially, it's the same money, yada, yada, unrealized versus realized. You get it.
Anyone else for the first time? Second time for the sponsor? Chairman Zwanisser?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to answer the question posed, I believe, and I can easily be corrected, that this is money above and on top of the cap otherwise being reserved that would otherwise be deposited in the LSRA.
We are voting on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 156. All those in favor say aye. Opposed say no. Second reading amendment number 1 has failed. We are on second reading amendment number 2. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, right there, Representative Summers.
Mr. Speaker, I appreciate the promotion.
I said Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So,
thank you.
So, ladies and gentlemen, yesterday I brought a really good little amendment that stripped out the appropriation on this bill. Mr. Speaker, I went off to the restroom feeling fairly good about myself, and I come back and my good little amendment was gone. And so lesson learned, I guess, there, Mr. Speaker. And so what I've done here is kind of done a combination of things. So, in fact, I do strip out the appropriation, but I go in on page 5. So if you turn to your bill on page 5, which I have to do as well, and you go to line 18, and then after act, I want to insert the following language. So my whole point yesterday in stripping the appropriation is I want to receive a report back on how we're going to expend this money. If we're going to expend it and create these efficiencies, which I'm fine with that. I think there's some real possibility here. I just want to make sure that I understand how the money's going to be spent and what we're looking at. And so rather than kind of voting on, a wag, I want to see something a little harder based on a report. So what this does is set up a report, and it inserts, prior to ending any contract pursuant to this section, the Commission shall report to the Joint Appropriations Committee on the following. 1, an estimation of the amount of cost savings and operational efficiencies that can be achieved in areas identified in the report required by this section by contracting with the entity. And 2, a determination of whether the amount to be paid for the contract could be based on a contingent fee in amount not to exceed 10% of the actual cost savings and operational efficiencies achieved by contracting with the entity. And that last piece was just put in because we've heard sometimes these professionals are paid based upon the savings that they are able to generate. And then, of course, page 7, lines 13 through 19, deletes the my good approach comrade, that part that basically put back in the $500,000. So this part would, in fact, strip the appropriation of $500,000. So with that, I would stand for questions and ask for your aye vote on the amendment.
Representative Summers, and I think we still need to move the amendment.
Mr. Speaker, you're right. Mr. Speaker, I move second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 156 and ask for your favorable consideration.
For your first time, Chairman Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The first part of this amendment is fine. The one thing I would like to comment on the Romanet 2 regarding the contingency, and I have heard some of the presentations regarding a fee based on a percent of savings. I'm really not in favor of that myself, although this is just asking to explore that option. One of the reasons I'm not all that excited about a contingency type of fee is that the people doing the work aren't necessarily looking out for the best interests or the job they're supposed to be doing. They start to become invested themselves in what they're doing. But again, I guess this is okay. So we move on down to 19, and this is quite interesting. I guess maybe, the majority whip, I guess, can make a decision to either hold his amendments or his water. I don't know which one. In all fairness, I don't think the body knew what they were voting on, and I lost that fair and square to the majority whip, and so I'm not going to fight that any further.
Anyone else? Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I do feel that I wanted to say that yesterday afternoon was a good illustration of what happens late in the afternoon when you're kind of sleepy and you've marked things up and you aren't really paying attention. And so I would like to apologize for that, because what I told the body was I had gone through and marked up my amendment, seeing it and under the supposition that it might not pass, and I put it to divide it, and then I got up and said that there were technical corrections because it had passed, and frankly, that wasn't actually accurate. So I apologize for that, and nobody noticed at all, seeing as the only person who cared was in the bathroom. So Mr. Speaker, I would actually like to move to divide the amendment, with lines 1 through 18 being division 2 and lines 19 through 23 being division 1.
Okay, that is divisible. What part would you like to start with?
Well, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to speak first on division 1, and I would urge a no vote, because I think I like the contingent fee part, but I think you ought to have some money to work with if you're going to do that. And so I would like to have us vote no on one, so that the money is there in the event that we can actually save some money by doing this operation.
Representative Summers on Division 1.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. And so basically, what I'm asking is to strip the appropriation out, create a report. This contingency piece is just one of the pieces of the report. To go on, it's the reason I'm doing this is because this appropriation that was in this bill, there was no accountability for it. We do not understand what we were going to get out of that $500,000. So this is just to say, okay, these were a couple of things that we've seen from these consultants. Can we get a little better report going forward to make decisions on money that we're going to expend in the future? So on in support of Division 1.
Any other? Representative Gray on Division 1.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to speak in opposition to Division 1. I mean, we're going to deal with the Division 2, the stripping of the appropriation, and I appreciate the representative's view here. I agree with it. But I think Division 1, moving to a contingency fee idea here, I know we're just going to be studying it, but with the contingency fee approach, you could very well end up with more spending than if we had just paid a flat fee, and I think just starting down that route.
Point of order, Mr. Chairman.
Rep. Chairman, why don't you state your point?
I believe Division 1 is actually 19 through 23.
You're on Division 1 is 19 through 23, the appropriation.
Excuse me. I support Division 1.
Okay. Thank you. Any other members? Rep. Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Against Division 1. And I guess I want to push back gently on this accountability that we are having a board of both the legislative and executive branches and members in this room, like we do other select committees and task forces. And I do think there's accountability that these are going to be agreed upon, and it's nice to have some funding. It made it through the other body and made it through appropriations, I assume, that there is enough of a need that we should keep some money here. I don't think it's going to be spent immediately. I don't actually foresee it being spent down hardly at all before we come back next year. But I do think it's important to have some funding in there if there's some immediate findings. They say, hey, we can save a lot of money here. We have to put a little bit of money forward to save a whole lot of money. We can get that accomplished right now while we're in a small funding crisis. And so I think it's important to leave some funding in there to be effective. So I'd ask you to vote no on Division 1.
Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I'm thankful for the clarification. I thought Division 1 was 1 through 18, but it is 19 through 23. And so speaking on and in favor of Division Number 1, this is $500,000 that we're taking from the LISRA. You think about the little bits that we've taken from LISRA. So we started with $25 million for the large projects. $2.5 million for Endow. We've got more money that's coming out of the budget, and now we're going to say another $500,000 for this. And we just keep nickeling and diming that LISRA account. And I like this bill, but I don't like it with the appropriation, quite frankly. And I'll vote against the bill with the appropriation of $500,000 or whatever the amount is coming out of LISRA. So I would ask you to vote in favor of Division Number 1.
Chairman Eklund.
You know, my concern with stripping it out is the same as the two speakers ago, especially if we add consultants. If we're going to accomplish the purposes of the bill, there has to be appropriation. And I don't know where that money's going to come from before we get here next year.
Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's very dangerous to speak at that mic up on the front over by my desk, so I thought I'd come back here. So, on and for the amendment, ladies and gentlemen, the $500,000 has no basis in place or time, and quite frankly, there's a lot of things we can do initially to do the fund savings and do it without an arbitrary number that they threw in. So I'm in favor of getting rid of the money.
Anyone else on Division 1? First or second time now? Second time. Okay, we're voting on Division Number 1, the Second Reading Amendment Number 2. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no.
No.
Division Number 1 has been adopted. We are now on Division Number 2. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I encourage Division Number 2.
Representative Flitner.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I propose dividing 2 into 2A and 2B. 2B would be lines 13 through 17. So then 2A would be lines 1 through 12.
Okay. You want to talk about 2A first?
I have no problem with 2A as proposed by the bringer of that first split. I myself would like to see that we take out Romanet 2 because I think that we'll see more savings if they get a percentage of what they discover. So I would
ask. Okay, so we are on Division 2A, which is lines 1 through 12.
Right.
Okay.
So 2B, I guess. I'd like you to vote on 2B. Am I saying that right?
Actually, 2A is what we're talking about.
So we talk about it first. Okay.
Okay, anyone else on Chairman Zwanitzer on Division 2A, lines 1 through 12.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I just need maybe someone to walk me through an example of how this is going to work. So we identify some cost savings, but then before we can actually implement them, you have to do, and this is a kind of on both because I don't know how I can separate my question. But you have to do a report, but the Appropriations Committee doesn't have to even agree to the report. So it's just before they enter into doing something, they just say, hey, we're going to do this and send a copy of it to that committee, and they can go ahead and do it regardless? Or do they have to wait for the Appropriations Committee to schedule a meeting and meet, you know, in the next 60 or 90 days and get the go-ahead? I just don't understand how it's going to work in practice if we put this amendment in either part into the program. And if it's just going to delay it until, you know, 2018 when we come back and then have to do it at that time, if they did find some immediate cost savings to help us out, how is this actually going to work that we can achieve those cost savings as quick as possible?
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Gray.
Mr. Speaker, I have a point of order.
Point of order. What's your point, Madam Minority Floor Leader?
Mr. Speaker, could you take another look at that, whether or not 2A and B is in fact divisible? I don't know how we could pass 2B without having passed 2A.
Madam Minority Floor Leader, I think if you take lines... the new language that on lines 5 through 18, lines 3 through 6 with the amendment. I think that works with Romanette 1, as I saw it. I thought those could stand alone. That's why I ruled it divisible.
Mr. Speaker, but could 2, if we didn't pass that, 2B doesn't stand on its own.
Yes. I see your point.
And I'm sorry. Because
so really, I need perhaps a 2A and B and 2C.
Yeah, oh, boy.
We can, I've ruled this as divisible. I think we can keep talking about 2A. And I think we can... move forward, and I think it'll be clear to the body if 2A fails. So that's the way we're going to roll with this. So we're on 2A. Representative Summers.
Mr. Speaker, on in support of 2A, and this is really the report we want to see. And the reason, you know, prior to entering into any contract, so I put that in there in case the part on the, in fact, the last division that we voted on, if that would have failed, then, in fact, there wouldn't have been an appropriation. So there may not be a contract, so I'm not too worried about prior to the contract because there probably won't be a contract. And what I envision is that this group will come together with a report, but then they'll submit to JAC, and perhaps JAC will be the sponsor of a piece of legislation that would come forward into the next session with exactly what we want to get done and exactly the expenditures that would occur through it. I think that's the appropriate way to do this. And so on in support of, obviously, the whole amendment, but Part A and 2A and 2B both, Mr. Speaker.
Anyone else on 2A? First or second time? Now we're on second time. Okay, we are voting on Division 2A, the second reading amendment number 2. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. 2A has been adopted. We are now on 2B, lines 13 through 18. Anyone would like to speak on 2B? Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would ask the body to resist 2B. I think putting into our session laws that we are going to definitely look at a contingency approach on this could end up blowing up in our faces, and we could end up paying more than just a flat fee. I think we could end up with a contingency fee in this report, but you don't have to put that in there. And I just think saying that we are going to get a determination is really, really dangerous. So I'd resist 2B. Contingency fee might be okay, but I think it could also end up going awfully, awfully awry. So I'd vote no on this.
Okay. Any other members on 2B? Seen. Oh, I'm sorry. Representative Summers.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. And really, I put this in here for discussion, and I'm fine with stripping that out. I think I think the last speaker brought a very good point. I think it can be inclusive in Romanette I, and I'm not sure that it's necessary. So vote your will.
Representative Sweeney.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So I'm in favor of the contingency fee. You've already stripped out, if I understand correctly, the $500,000. Is anybody even going to respond to, a consultant going to respond to an RFP if there's no remuneration for all of their work? You expect, does the body really expect an outside consulting firm to come and give you a full report on millions of dollars of potential savings for zip? I think that's totally unrealistic, where this, at least, there's some light at the end of the tunnel for a consultant. I urge you to, I don't even know if it's A, B, C, or D. So I'd urge you to...
It's B.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would vote, ask you to vote in favor of B.
Okay, we're on Division 2B, which is lines 13 through 18. Our first time, Chairman Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. About a half an hour, 45 minutes ago, I commented on the contingency, and so I would be against this particular subdivision. And then also with the appropriation being stripped out, what we're going to do is put this commission together. We're going to look at, or that commission will look at what has been done in the past. And, you know, we look at what management audits done, some of the reports that have been generated over time to GAC. They'll gather that, analyze it, find those areas of government that maybe we want to go after, or maybe it's all of government, put together an RFP. You'll send those out, and you'll send it out with a contingency subject to appropriation by the legislature. So it still works. It still would work okay.
Anyone else for their first time on 2B? Seeing none, moving to second time. Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And again, we can have something in there maybe on a third reading amendment about that there's going to be an appropriate, something in there about payment. But I think saying that there's definitely going to be a report on a contingency is the wrong way to go on this, because that could end up costing us more. And one other thing I'd say is we want someone to do this that is in it for the right reasons. Yes, they will get paid. They will get paid. But we also want someone that is wanting to look at efficiencies and has some trust in us. So I'd encourage a no vote on this amendment.
Okay, we are voting on Division 2B, lines 13 through 18. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no.
No.
Division 2B has failed. Having been read, Senate File 156, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 167.
Senate File 167. Prime sponsor is Senator Bebout. Workers' Compensation, Rate, Discount, Modification, and Credit, an Act Relating to Workers' Compensation.
Senate File 167. Having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 169.
Senate File 169, sponsored by Senator Dockstader. Migratory Bird Refuge, an act relating to game and fish.
Senate File 169, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. We are now on that order of business of third reading bills on the consent list. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move the consent list consisting of the following three bills, Senate File 26, Senate File 32, and Senate File 72. The other three bills on the yellow sheet have been moved down to the regular list. So again, Senate File 26, Senate File 32, and Senate File 72.
Would any member desire any of these three bills removed from the consent list? The reading clerk will please read the bills to the enacting clause.
Senate File 26, sponsored by Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources. Game and Fish Licenses, Confidentiality, an Act Relating to Game and Fish. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 32, sponsored by Judiciary, Peace Officer Recordings, an act relating to public records, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 72, sponsored by Agriculture, State and Public Lands and Water Resources, 2017 Large Project Funding, an act relating to the Wyoming Wildlife and Natural Resource Funding Act, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Roll call on the consent. Allen. Baker.
Aye.
Barlow. Biteman. Biteman. Biteman excused. Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bovee.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Clausen.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Court.
Aye.
Crank.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Ayer.
Aye.
Flitner.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Herfey.
Aye.
Garou.
Aye.
Gray.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Haley.
Aye.
Hallinan. Halverson,
aye.
Henderson,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Kinner,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Larson Lloyd,
aye.
Larson Dan,
aye.
Lindholm,
aye.
Lone,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
McGuire,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Obermuller,
aye.
Olson,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Pelkey,
aye.
Pelkey,
aye.
Pieperinen, Ponell,
aye.
Salazar,
aye.
Schwartz,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Steinmetz,
aye.
Sweeney,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Zawanitzer,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
59 aye, 1 excused.
Wait, just starting.
Sorry.
As for Senate File 26, are there any changes? Clem, aye to no. Further changes? Madden? Oh, sorry. Any further changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 58 aye, 1 no, 1 excused. As for Senate File 32, are there any changes? Baker, aye to no. Garou, aye. To no. Schwartz, aye. To no. Henderson, aye. To no. Byrd, aye. To no. Further changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 54 aye, 5 no, 1 excused. As for Senate File 72, are there any changes? Lone, aye. To no. Edwards, aye. To no. Jennings, aye. To no. Halverson, aye. To no. Steinmetz, aye. To no. Lindholm, aye. To no. Blackburn, aye. To no. Winters, aye. To no. Gray, aye. To no. Pieperinen, aye. To no. Miller, aye. To no. Further changes? Clem, aye. To no. Further changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed, 47 aye, 12 no, 1 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bills 20, or Senate Files 26, 32, and 72 have passed the House. We're at that order of business now of bills on third reading, regular lists, final passage. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 42.
Senate File 42, sponsored by Judiciary, Opiate Overdose Emergency Treatment, an act relating to public health and safety, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
We have an amendment. Representative Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 42 and ask for your favorable consideration. Members, there was supposed to be a handout that went along with this, and my understanding is it hasn't been dispersed yet, so hopefully that'll come your way. But we had this discussion briefly
earlier in the session.
Mr. Speaker, point of order.
Representative Brown, state your point.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like a ruling from the chair, if I could, on the germaneness of the topic of this amendment to the bill in itself, if I could.
Further your point, specifically.
Mr. Speaker, this definitely is outside the scope of the original intent of this bill, and I don't see the intent in behind or the need to bring this into an opiate overdose emergency treatment when we're talking about medical marijuana.
Okay, I'm going to ask the Rules Committee. Everybody can stretch a minute. Rules Committee, come forward. House come to order. The Rules Committee has determined that third reading amendment number one is not germane to the bill. Representative Baker.
Mr. Chairman, the handout should still be coming out, so the body, if you'll look at that, you know, keep it in mind because this discussion isn't going to go away, but I will withdraw third reading amendment number one from Senate File 42.
Okay, third reading amendment number one has been withdrawn. Senate File 42 having been read three separate times. The question is, shall a bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker. Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Biteman. Excused. Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bovey.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Clausen.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Court.
Aye.
Crank.
Crank.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Ayer.
Aye.
Flitner. Freeman.
Aye.
Furphy.
Aye.
Giroux.
Aye.
Gray.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Haley.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Henderson.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kinner.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lone.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
McGuire.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye. Miller. Aye. Nicholas. Aye. Northrup.
Aye.
Obermuller.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Pipirinen.
Aye.
Pawnell.
Aye.
Salazar.
Aye.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Sweeney.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Crank. Crank. Excused. Flitner. Excused. Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 57 aye, 3 excused.
Senate file 42, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate file 42 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is Senate file 113.
Senate file 113, sponsored by Senator Nethercott. Felony fleeing.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Brown, let us finish reading the bill. You're going to be fine. I think I know what you're going to do, but okay. Let us finish reading the bill. Thank you.
Felony fleeing or eluding police, an act relating to regulation of traffic or highways.
Okay, Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. Pursuant to Rule 7-3, I would like to lay back Senate File 113 for one day.
Absent objection. Senate File 113 is laid back one additional day. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 136.
Senate File 136, sponsored by Appropriations, Energy Science, Stipends, and Fellowships, an act relating to abandoned mine land funds, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senate File 136 has amendments. Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. At this time, I'd like to move third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 136 and ask for your favorable consideration. What I've done here is in the McKim second reading amendment, it refers to Wyoming residents, and this just includes graduates of the University of Wyoming, because there's a lot of folks that go to the university and never officially change their residency, but they've spent many years right here in the state. And so this just gives them the same opportunity to be part of that, and I think it would make it more workable, and we still encourage Wyoming kids and Wyoming students and Wyoming folks to become the best and brightest.
Representative McKim.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. According to my tie, I'm all shook up, but I do accept this as a friendly amendment. I don't want to be the hard guy and say that those that are going through can't graduate and shouldn't have the opportunity to prevail on this. So I look at it as a friendly amendment. Thank you.
Question being called. We are voting on third reading amendment number 1, the Senate File 136. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. Third reading amendment number 1 has been adopted. We're on third reading amendment number 2, Representative Gray. And members, before we move this amendment, I just want to back up to Senate File 113 that we laid back. And we had this happen about a month ago. And when is the appropriate time to make that motion on Rule 7-3? And further clarification on the rules, and really any time up to the point where the question is put forth to you, and shall the bill pass? And so I had a representative ask me, and I appreciate that, and I want to share that with all of you, because we had some confusion, you might remember, back about a month ago. So we're good with Representative Brown's motion and the timing of it. So thank you with that. We are on third reading amendment number 2. Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I respectfully withdraw third reading amendment number 2 to House Senate File 136.
Third reading amendment number 2 has been withdrawn. We're on third reading amendment number 3. Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 136. So in terms of this amendment, one of the things that I talked a lot with about constituents during my campaign was about prioritizing our expenditure in business, in life,
we have to prioritize expenditure, and indeed, we have to in government as well.
Mr. Speaker, if I may offer a point of order, I don't believe this is germane to this bill.
And your point a little further, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In the title of the bill, it's Energy Science Stipends and Fellowships, and we're talking about those, and now all of a sudden we're talking about K-12 education, and I don't think that they really relate.
Okay, and I will just offer the courtesy, I have my own thoughts on that, but I'll offer the courtesy of the bringer of the amendment, the opportunity to state his case before the Rules Committee. So we're going to stretch our legs one more time. The Rules Committee has ruled, members, the Rules Committee has ruled that Amendment Number 3 is not germane to the bill. Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I respectfully withdraw Amendment Number 3 to third reading Amendment Number 3 to Senate File 136.
Okay, third reading Amendment Number 3 has been withdrawn. We are now on third reading Amendment Number 4. Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 4 to Senate File 136. One of the things I talked about with my constituents during my campaign was about prioritizing our spending. And in business, in life, in our personal lives, we have to do this. And indeed, in government, we have to, especially when there starts to be solvency issues. We appropriated these funds in 2011 when we were flush. And we're not anymore. And we have solvency issues in education. We have to deal with those issues. And I am not going to raise taxes. I don't think that's the right move. So we need to look at our priorities and re-examine those. So this is one of the things that I think that we should put these AML funds into education. And that was what I wanted to do now. But we can defeat this. The AML funds will not be taken by the federal government anticipating some of the arguments. They will not be. The last administration tried that. It's very unlikely that the current executive branch will try that. And they do not revert permanently when you say that you don't have to renegotiate this. We send them an invoice, and I talk to staff about this, and they pay us for the invoice once it's spent. So what we're going to do is we're not going to pay for this for something that isn't one of our priorities at this time, and then we'll come back in the budget session and we'll have $2.8 million more to spend on something that we have to fund, like education. We have to fix that issue. So I talked with staff about this in this process, and I'm very confident that these funds are going to be okay. Because we send them an invoice, and that's what they get back to us. What they tried to do in the previous executive branch is to say, we're not going to pay these funds ever. And it failed. And that is not something that we've seen this current executive branch say they want to do at all. So to just say that we think there's a 0.1% chance that this might happen in the future, and therefore we have to spend this money as quick as we can, that's the wrong way to approach this. We need to spend this money responsibly. It is the state's money. It is our citizens' money. And so I say let's vote this down. Let's come back in the budget session and appropriate this $2.8 million in an area that where we have huge solvency issues right now. I would say education or some other areas as well. So please vote this down, and I bring this for, so we have general discussion. Thank you.
Representative Loan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and supported the amendment against the bill. These funds were appropriated many years ago to be used for a program, and they were not utilized. And to say we're going to extend the sunset date so they will be utilized is kind of preposterous. I say let's stick to what we had set in place, close out this program, and move those funds somewhere else. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment against the bill. When we first were talking about this piece of legislation, we heard a lot of talk that perhaps these AML funds would be raided if we didn't use them, and that's just simply not true. Those funds are not going to be raided. They're not going to disappear. This program's not being utilized, like you just heard from the last individual. So on and for the amendment against the bill.
Representative Salazar.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment. Thank you.
Representative Larson Lloyd.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and opposed to the amendment, the stipends are being used. They didn't use them to the full extent on the they could spend up to $1 million a year. They didn't do that. They've been using it for these stipends over the last couple of years. They would like to continue to use, instead of reverting the funds, would like to be able to use them for those educational purposes. It served a very good purpose, and I'd encourage you to defeat this amendment.
Representative Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. These are funds prior appropriated funds for a purpose. And I just want to point out that this had sideboards on it, the term we always use, but up to $1 million per year. And I think what we want to do is make sure that there's rigor behind awarding these stipends. And so with that may mean from year to year there aren't people that achieve that rigor or to that level that they are looking for this excellence. I don't think we want to send a message is when we set up a program like this, is hurry up and use the money or you will lose it later on. So I'm against this amendment, but would ask you to vote in favor of the bill.
Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and in support of the amendment and against the bill. Very eloquent. I think the bringer of the amendment laid out the scenario. These are AML monies. They're not going away. And they can be reappropriated to different areas. And again, I think it's incumbent upon this body to recognize what are those areas, what should be funded the most. And again, these AML monies have to go toward those, they have to be used for minerally impacted areas, right? What is more minerally impacted than education? And so I think there's a very real and valid argument that in our coming budget session that these monies could be reappropriated to those more pressing needs. And so this does not have to be a hasty decision. We do not have to spend this money right now or we'll lose it. And so I would urge the body to just wait and just pause. If anything, let's hold on. Let's just wait. Let's come back next year. Let's look and see where we could use this money the most and then act on it. But to say that we have to spend it for this program right now or we're going to lose it is a faulty argument. And I don't think we need to do that. So, again, on and for the amendment and against the bill. Thank you.
Representative Pownell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, I'm for the amendment, against the amendment, for the simple fact that I remember hearing last year that through our folks back east that was working on all that AML money, and that there was a chance that we would lose that money. And it wasn't from the administration. It was from many of the folks that are in the same party we're in throughout the rest of the United States. They wanted that money. And so I would urge a little caution. I'm not sure if the money can be moved to another area, but at this point I would say no on that amendment. Thank you. And vote for the bill.
Thank you. Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just first of all, for clarification, ladies and gentlemen, there's only $1.6 million less than the funds. So we're fighting over 1.6. Just that's the number that's remaining in the balance of the account that has not been appropriated at the university. So out of our $3 billion budget, we're trying to grab that out of a program that we've stood up and funded and basically promised to the university and promised to these grad students. And so I just don't think that this is the place where we need to grab an extra $1.6 one-time dollars in order to eliminate a program that they've been running and doing a good job at. So on and against.
Representative Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment and for the bill. Friends, if the good bringer of the amendment wants to reevaluate how we use and expend AML funds, he can do that, but this at some point, but this is not the place to do it. Right now, these funds are being used in the way that we told UW to use them 5 years ago, and we're re-upping them. So right now, know that UW has had, I think the number is 89 students in the program, and 50 are still part of it. 50 students are still receiving these stipends. They are in the fields that we just talked about with Endow, that we decided that we want to keep that laundry list because they are so important. So they are in the fields of atmospheric sciences, chemical and petroleum engineering, mechanical engineering, civil and architectural engineering, electrical and computer engineering, chemistry, geology, and geophysics, global and area studies, math, physics, astronomies, ecosystem science and management, plant sciences, and molecular and cellular life sciences. These are the STEM programs that we have decided to prioritize. So again, on and in favor of this bill so that we can continue with these stipends to the 50 students who are currently getting them and promote the areas that we've just decided are crucial for our economic development. Thank you.
Representative Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On in favor of the amendment. Whenever I have a financial crisis in my house, I don't keep all the items that aren't near as important to me. I have to draw myself back in and try to take care of those key issues that I need to take care of. And being this affects those that are outside of the state more than those that are in the state, I would like to see us direct it toward being used by those that are in the state and those where we have a financial problem. On and for the amendment.
Representative Blake.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Against the amendment for this bill, ladies and gentlemen of the 64th, we've spent AML money on everything all over the place. This may be one of the best investments we've made with AML money besides the work around the Springs of Rock, but let's keep these AML money where it is. We already have people who are using it, and as the minority floor leader mentioned, these are some great, great projects that we should all support. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just offer this is a program that's being very well utilized. The only time it wasn't utilized was due to the timing issue of when this was due to expire and when the classes needed to be recruited, and that's this period of time we're in right now. As soon as this is, if we can get this reauthorized, they'll be recruiting. The funds will be spent very well. And this is about it. These funds are being used for education. So they're already being used for education. Let me repeat that a third time. They are being used for education. It's for the best and brightest. They come from Wyoming. They come from all over. This also helps with economic diversity because we are finding different ways to release our energy, our oil, our gas, our coal, different ways to utilize it, different ways to enhance it and do things like that with it. That's what these graduate students work on. It's a great program. It's working well. It's being utilized. Please vote yes on the bill and no on the amendment.
Representative Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Again, against the amendment. And to remind the body, you know, we're attracting the smartest minds around the world to Wyoming. We can't afford not to keep funding this program. Now, if you have one of these students, they get a patent, we're talking millions of dollars. If you get a tech breakthrough, we're talking tens of millions of dollars. If they can find a way to make all of the coal in our ground, the stranded asset increasingly, to be profitable, we're talking hundreds of millions of dollars to our state, to our university, through patents, through grants, through research. This is one of the limited ways that we have in the future to find a way to get all of our energy industries to move forward. And if we can find a way to do that with some of the smartest minds in the world that we enable to be here through these grants, this is going to pay more dividends than almost anything else you're going to do in the legislature this year. I guarantee you. Strongly against the amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Piperina.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to ask, does anybody know what type of return we get on research dollars for what we're paying for stipends and fellowships?
Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll be brief because I want to get to the general file. But I was fortunate enough to go to the country that has the largest population in the world, and we went to the coal provinces, and they understand the need for research. I went into one institution, and they had over 300 graduate students talking about clean coal. They understand the need to do research. Our coal companies can't do that because the way that they are set up with the prices, they're limited on their research and development, and institutions like the University of Wyoming has to do that research on and for the bill and against the amendment.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Furphy.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I was asked what kind of research is going on with these dollars. Those of you who were able to attend the university's High Bay Research Center and go through that facility, let me tell you, the research going on for our energy companies is truly amazing. We have research going on that the major energy companies in our world are coming to our state to review that research because they're so astounded at the facility that we have over there and that what the graduate students are learning and accomplishing. It would be a true travesty to take this money away from those graduates who are doing tremendous things for our state. So please vote down this amendment and pass the bill. Thank you.
Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Through the years, I've kind of struggled on this particular topic until I heard why this was first stood up. There was an individual that worked for our university that was working in this particular field, the STEM research area. And because there were a number of other places that were working so hard to get him into their university because of the particular kind of research he was doing, eventually he was lured away from our institution to an institution just to our west. And while there, brought his technology to fruition, is now making millions and millions of dollars for that institution. And so when I began to look into that a bit, I understood why this particular program is so valuable for us. This is one of the basic reasons why our university's here. And so I think, actually, I'm on and for the bill against the amendment. I think that this is something that sets us up toward the future. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? First time. Moving to second time. Second time, Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And while we were, while the debate was going on, you know, another area occurred to me where we could use some of these AML monies. You know, currently we don't have any money for a steady source of revenue, I guess, for school capital construction. And again, these AML dollars are one-time dollars. And I can think of a whole host of different areas where we could use these AML monies, aside from this program right here. So I think there's other pressing needs. Again, this money's not going away. Let's hold on to it. Let's put our heads together. Let's see where else we could use this money more efficiently. So on and for the amendment and against the bill.
Anyone else for the second time? Second time for the sponsor. Representative Salazar.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As someone from the cowboy town, $1.6 million is still a lot of money. I've been here 2 months. I have rarely heard bad ideas on expenditures. There are great ideas. At some point, I think we have to be cognizant of the fact of our fiscal responsibilities and what's happening. I support this amendment. Thank you.
Anyone else? Second time for the sponsor. Going to the sponsor, Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As we continue to wrestle with our fiscal challenges, I think one of the things we need to keep cognizant, there are areas in the general fund where if we take away the money, the money's gone. In this, though, UW gets a lot of money from us. They get a lot of donations. They have other ways to continue this program. This amendment offers no reflection on the research itself. I'm sure it's wonderful research. I think the work is good. UW has a strong development department. I'm sure they can continue this. It's not a reflection on anything they're doing. They do a great job in their development department, but we can't continue to spend this money on all of these priorities from 2011. And as we continue to talk about the challenges we're facing in the downturn of our mineral revenues, if we're going to get anywhere on the spending side, we have to prioritize at some point. And that's why I bring this amendment. It's great work. I think it's wonderful work. But when someone tries to bring an amendment that they can continue to fund through other actions that they take with our monies or through development, when the answer is that you're denigrating the work, it's nothing even close to that. This is about how are we going to spend the people's money. The work is great, but we face solvency issues on our K-12 education. We had someone say that this is for education. Yeah, this is for education, but we have a K through 12 huge solvency gap that we have to fix. And if we're going to do it on the spending side, we have to look at our priorities. So I think that you look at school capital construction, these are one-time dollars. We haven't even gone into that issue. We focused on the operating solvency issue so far. We had an $80 billion appropriation from LISRA just to continue to sort of keep that train running on the capital construction side. But we haven't even gone into that one. These AML dollars could be used for that. Again, we need to start prioritizing. We have to get serious on spending. UW can continue this great work through other funds that we give them and through development, through donations. We can continue the work. But we got to get efficient here with our state dollars. It's the right thing to do. With that, I ask for a no vote on the bill, and I respectfully withdraw Amendment number 4 to Senate File 136, third reading Amendment number 4.
Third reading Amendment number 4 has been withdrawn. Having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll on Senate File 136.
Allen.
Excused.
Baker. No. Barlow. Aye. Biteman. Excused. Blackburn. No. Blake. Aye. Bovee. Aye. Brown. Aye. Burkhart. Aye. Bird. Aye. Clausen. No. No. Clem. No. Connolly. Aye. Court. Aye. Crank. Aye. Dayton. Aye. Edwards. No. Eklund. Aye. Ayer. Aye. Flitner. Aye. Freeman. Aye. Furphy. Aye. Garou. Aye. Gray.
No.
No. Greer. Aye. Haley.
Aye.
Hallinan. No. Halverson. No. Henderson.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Jennings. No. Kenner.
Aye.
Kirkbride. Aye. Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
No.
Lone.
No.
Laux.
No.
McGuire.
No.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
No.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Obermuller.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Piperinen.
No.
Ponell.
Aye.
Salazar.
No.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Sweeney.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Closing vote. Are there any changes? McGuire, no to aye. Further changes? Closing vote. Vote is closed. 43 aye, 15 no, 2 excused.
Senate File 136, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 136 has passed the House. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May I have privilege of the floor?
Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Folks, I just want to draw your attention to something before you head off for the weekend, which may not be for a while yet, I realize, but to put on your calendars, hot off the press in your inbox, you know, we have this new electronic bill processing system that we've all enjoyed our experience with, and I just want to point out that the LSO technology staff are going to hold 2 meetings next week, one on Tuesday at 1 o'clock in room L51, and the other one on Wednesday, the 1st, at 1 p.m. in L51, which will give us an opportunity to identify issues or concerns with the bill drafting system. And I just bring that up as a member of the Legislative Technology Committee, and I think many of us will have contributions that we can make to the refinement of the system. So I encourage you to just put that on your calendar if you can fit that in. And again, it's in your inbox, but I know you might not notice it before you get away. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 155.
Senate File 155, sponsored by Senator Burns. Bar and grill liquor license increase, an act relating to alcoholic beverages. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
We have an amendment. Representative Sweeney.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. After yesterday's close vote, I really wasn't going to do much of anything, except I really felt that the bill was possibly in jeopardy. I would first like to move, thank you, first like to move amendment number one to third reading of Senate File 155. Did I do that correctly? Thank you. So anyway, a few things. I'm not going to belabor this very long, but in front of you is a new chart, and I want to clarify a couple of things because I really believe I misstated what these columns to the right-hand side were saying yesterday. And so I want to clarify that because I believe I did misspeak. So if you go down the far right-hand column, that, and if you'll follow down with me, the first one is the town of Laramie, and you'll see in that far right-hand column the number 3. This is what the amendment would do to the substitute bill. But yesterday, I believe I indicated to the body that that other column under authorized in the shaded area was actually the number of licenses that would be authorized under the substitute bill, and that is inaccurate. And so if you follow down with me very, very quickly, Laramie, I'm proposing 3 in this amendment. In the substitute bill is actually 6. Drop down to Gillette. I'm proposing in the amendment 3. In the substitute bill, 6. Drop down to Rollins. They would get 2 rather than the substitute bill, 3. On that line, I'd point out they still have 3 available. Further down, Lander, the substitute bill, they would get 3. I'm proposing 2. They still have 2 available. Riverton, substitute bill, 3, amendment 2. No proper names. Yeah, that'd take forever. Anyway, you get the gist. I just wanted to correct that. The town up north that the presenter from the Senate, mine would actually give them 3. They would have only gotten 2 with the substitute bill. So, anyway, I think names are germane to this amendment, but that's all right. So with that, I wanted to clarify that. And another thing that I'd like to clarify, that was my error. That wasn't the association that represents liquor dealers. The other thing that I wanted to say a little more clarity on is Bar Grill. In my opinion, if you look at certain establishments in my town that do have a Bar Grill license, one of them has wings in their brand name and on the side of their building. if that's not a sports bar, I don't know what it is with 50-some TVs inside that thing. So I don't consider that a family restaurant. Yes, families are welcome there. We have other examples in town that I do believe are family restaurants. I see that qualifier as thinking as a bar grill license that that's a family restaurant. I guess I just don't consider that. I'm no longer in the liquor business, and glad with stuff like this that I'm not. But frankly, I think this is a better, much ease-in approach than going full bore for some of the bigger communities, six, and just dropping six at one time, where we should be taking a look at what all got accomplished in this session as far as modifications to our existing laws. And one of them was parked full retail licenses, which I think you'll see within the next year, year and a half, a lot of movement there. In my community, I think there's seven or eight currently parked total. So they'll free up. So anyway, with that, I ask your due consideration and ask you to vote yes. The other thing to consider is if this fails, does the body believe that you've got enough votes to pass 155, being the vote was that close? And do you want to go home to your constituents with nothing? So with that, I stand and ask for your approval.
Anyone else? First time. Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I guess I'll take my chances. Against this amendment, and I really do appreciate it because I like a lot of parts right up until about 1 through 9 are great, but I can't divide it. Here's the sticking point, I think, if you live in my community or the big community in the center of the state. In the original bill that came over from the Senate, it gave us 16 new bar and grill liquor licenses. And in committee, you know, we actually have four people from my community on my committee, and we all agreed that may be a little bit too much, too fast for 16 new bar and grill licenses. And so we limited it through a new formula down to six. What this does is two things. One, it limits us, I guess, to three in my community. But the really, I shouldn't call it insidious, but the interesting thing about this on lines 13 through 15 is you have to get 15,000 more people in your municipality in order to acquire more over the 27,500 limit, which effectively pretty much says you're not going, right now it's one for every 7,500. This changes it to two every time you get at least 15,000. That effectively caps it from not happening for, you know, at least 10 or 15 years, unless anybody else in here is expecting a huge boom in the near future. And so that's why I can't support the amendment. I think we made some pretty good compromises in the substitute bill to take it down to a responsible level. With this, it just impacts all the communities who actually need it. You can look at those charts. It's pretty much, you know, the top 10 largest municipalities in the state. We're getting six under the current bill. This will take them all down to about three and prevent them from ever acquiring more until we come back and redo this section probably next year if this passes. But I'd submit to you, if it does, this amendment fails, we might not have to talk about bars and grills for a couple more sessions.
Anyone else for their first time? Chairman Nicholas.
Ladies and gentlemen, if anyone was sitting in the gallery or some of us to sit on this floor all day today, we need more than three more of these things in Cheyenne. We just do.
Anyone else would like to add to the debate? Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Speaking in opposition to the amendment, this is really bad for communities. I think that this is economic development done the right way, and the $15,000 person issue that the chairman of one of our committees just noted is very important. So please vote no on this, because it's that effectively kills what we're trying to do in this bill.
Representative Furphy.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm going to be very brief, but at our committee, when we took testimony on this issue, we had an entrepreneur who is trying to attract young millennials to our great state in order to create economic development. So he's trying to attract the best and the brightest to our state. And one of the things he pointed out is that age group likes to eat out more often and participate in bar and grills. And so this guy has no skin in the game in terms of ownership in a restaurant or a bar, but he's saying in order to help him recruit as an angel investor, we need more of these licenses. So I'm speaking against the amendment and in favor of this bill in terms of economic development. Thank you.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you very much. I'll be brief, Mr. Speaker. I got just one question here, one question and one comment, I guess. I'd like to know what the underlying purpose of this amendment is in relation to the one yesterday. When I compare the two, it looks like we've got the towns of the size that need them the worst, as evidence has showed, are being pinched down compared to the substitute bill in an extraordinary fashion, and a few bones have been tossed to the middle-sized towns in hopes that we could get a few more votes to pass this, and then the sponsor of the amendment would be happy because his own town would be pinched down along with the capital city and Laramie.
Anyone else for their first time? Chairman Barlow.
Thankfully, well, unfortunately, we're not adding more of these. Mr. Speaker, here's my question. And I think I'm on for the amendment, and this is why. Because when you take a look at the substitute bill, we're striking a population number and inserting a new one. So then if you go to page 1, we're going to have to redo the formula for every community because of these changes. So I would argue that you should probably stick with the population numbers and just change the number of licenses, because changing both, I believe there's going to be a recalculation throughout every community that falls within this 7,000 to 20 and 20 plus, 20 to 30,000. So, and I don't know how many communities that is, but I think there's actually two formulas being changed here. Two numbers being changed. One is formula population, and the other is the license. So you don't like the numbers, that's one thing, but I think there's some unintended consequences within the bill itself that actually may not get the numbers you're talking about on your handout, because there's going to have to be a recalculation because of formula. So I'm interested to know how you go into a community and say, oh, by the way, we might have to take back one of those licenses. Just a question, because the formula is based on population, and we're changing the population number now, even though it's not a lot, 5,000 in one case, 2,500 in the other. Thank you.
Anyone else? First time. Okay, we're going to, I think, move to second time. Anyone for their second time before the sponsor? Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just quickly to respond to the last chairman's comments, that is correct. We are manipulating both the population numbers and the number of licenses, because right now every municipality gets two. And so you know, we have like 300 of these things out there, but they're not actually being utilized by any town under 7,500, except in a few rare instances. And so I just wanted to say, from everything I remember, no town actually loses bar and grill licenses under this new formula. And even if they do, we don't take them away. It's as soon as one gets returned in, they don't reissue it. And so we wouldn't actually impact any current businesses if this bill passes.
Okay, anyone else? Second time for the sponsor, Representative Sweeney.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
I forgot to point out the far left-hand column on the amount that were originally. This is the true number that originally were authorized. And in some cases, since I can't use town names, you can figure it out. This is quite an increase in most towns on the bar grill licenses, whether you like the industry or not. Back to the good chairman of revenue's question, we really weren't trying to manipulate anything in particular, just trying to get to what I guess I felt was a more reasonable number to gradually increase these over time. And within the confines of our current population formulas. And we may have missed something on the 15,000. I think that's a good point. However, I would say that there's nothing wrong with coming back if we need to amend something. It might have to wait for 2 years because next year is a budget session, but to take a look at this. But so there wasn't anything really, in particular. It was just trying to get to that point. And to the point of going backwards, I agree with you. We just couldn't figure out how to reach down far enough on some of the populations to help some of the smaller communities. One's got a huge museum that Buffalo Bill. So that's kind of an explanation on that. And the other is, thank you. Jeez, I will put that on. The other is to the comment about the gentleman that's talked in committee about the Angel Fund. I would just caution you. The one thing that I did not question him out, because I looked at that Angel Fund and one, and I sat in on a seminar about that Angel Fund. And I will tell you, one of the things they're looking at investing in is hospitality and bar grills. So it was a little bit not 100% clear that he indeed was, he did have skin in the game. I'm sorry to say that. But, and with that, there's no need, and I will, I thank the good chairman of education. I ask you to support the amendment. Call for the question.
I've seen a lot of things, but on this floor. But okay, members. We are voting on third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 155. All those in favor of the amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 1 has failed. Senate File 155, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen, excused. Baker. Aye. Barlow. Aye. Biteman, excused. Blackburn. Aye. Blake.
Aye.
Bovey.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Clausen. Aye. Clem. Aye. Connolly. Aye. Court.
Aye.
Crank. Aye. Dayton. Aye. Edwards. No. Eklund. Aye. Ayer. No. Flitner. Aye. Freeman. No. Furphy.
Aye.
Garou.
Aye.
Gray.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Haley.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Henderson.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Jennings. Aye. Kinner.
Aye.
Aye. Kirkbride.
Aye.
Aye. Larson Lloyd. Larson Lloyd. No. Larson Dan.
Aye.
Aye. Lindholm.
No.
No. Lone.
No.
No. Laux.
Aye.
Aye. McGuire.
Aye.
Aye. Madden.
Aye.
Aye. McKim.
No.
No. Miller. Aye. Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Obermuller.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Aye. Pipirinen.
No.
No. Ponnell.
No.
No. Salazar.
Aye.
Aye. Schwartz.
Aye.
Aye. Summers.
Aye.
Aye. Steinmetz.
Aye.
Aye. Sweeney.
No.
No. Walters.
Aye.
Aye. Wilson.
Aye.
Aye. Winters.
Aye.
Sawanitzer.
Aye.
Aye. Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 48 aye, 10 no, 2 excused.
Senate File 155. Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 155 has passed the House. We are now at that order of business of consideration of bills on general file. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, your general file list, the first three bills are the same as the what's on the yellow sheet, Senate File 64, 109, and 115, and then there should be a new blue sheet on your desk for the remainder of the list. And with that, Mr. Speaker, I move the House resolve itself into the Committee of the Whole.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye. Opposed say no. Representative Guru. Committee of the Whole, please come to order.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Just a note, Mr. Chairman, we're going to work the first 10 bills on the list. So depending on the mood of the body here, we'll get out in an hour or we'll get out in 4 hours, you know. So the first 10 bills on the list, I believe the list was put out about 12:50. It's that blue sheet on your desk. So mark down number 10 there and mark them off as we go.
Okay, thank you. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File number 64. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
Senate File 64, sponsored by Senator Van Platern. Crash Report Confidentiality, an act relating to motor vehicle crashes. This bill was referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, which returned to committee a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Blackburn, Blake, Brown, Cork, Crank, Edwards, Eklund, Laux, Pipirinen. Signed, Representative Eklund, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a recommendation that Senate File number 64 do pass. I would like to briefly explain part of what's gone on here. Accident has been changed to crash throughout the bill, and our law enforcement people are telling us that they're referring to what we called accidents before as crashes because it better describes what all can happen. And we'll probably see statute changes throughout law to that effect eventually. And now I'll turn the explanation of the meat of the bill over to my good colleague from the land that has seams of coal that are 70 feet deep.
Representative Ponnell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll be brief on this bill. This bill is basically brought to our attention from folks that patrol the highways and folks that are in the press. So it come from two different sources, and they both work together to come up with this bill. And what this bill does, it clarifies the language that would allow the folks to that patrol the roads to give the basic information of accidents to the media. Currently, in the law, it was found out to be that they couldn't release that information. And there was kind of an issue that was brought to the media's attention, which they realized they couldn't get that. So what it does, it goes through the bill, and as you can read there on the first, on page one, paragraph B, after 31.5.11.10, it deletes all accident reports and then goes into supplemental information. And what that is basically stating that some of the supplemental information is not going to be released, and also information that gives personal information on individuals, social security numbers, date of birth, things of that nature, will also not be released. So what this is, just it's a cleanup bill to help law enforcement give a good, complete accident report to the press without giving out detailed information about an individual's personal identification. And I would take any questions.
Question being called. all those in favor of Representative Eklund's motion that when the Committee of the Whole passes the report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill number 64, Senate File 64, do pass. Please say aye.
Mr. Chairman, I apologize. I was trying to get up over here to speak on the bill real quick. But we voted, so never mind.
Continuing with the vote, those opposed? Senate File 64 has passed the House. Committee of the Whole, excuse me. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 109. Chairman Eklund. Oh, I'm sorry. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
Senate File 109, sponsored by Senator Bernard. Autocycles, an act relating to motor vehicles. This bill was referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass with the following amendment. Ayes, Representatives Blackburn, Blake, Brown, Cork, Crank, Edwards, Eklund, Laux, Piperinen. Signed, Representative Eklund, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. Your pleasure, Chairman Eklund.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a recommendation that Senate File 109 do pass, and I further turn the explanation of the bill over to my young colleague and new freshman legislator from Buffalo Bill Country.
There you go. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Court, do you have a committee amendment that you'd like to move?
Have an amendment. It's page 1, line 2, after autocycle, insert.
Need to move the amendment?
Oh, say that again.
I'm going to move.
Can I go on there?
House Standing Committee.
I'm going to move House Standing Committee amendment number 1
to Senate File.
And then just right here. Senate File 109. Page 1, line 2, after autocycles, insert increasing fees as specified. And on page 3, line 9, strike $12 and insert $25. Oh, thanks.
Question being called on the amendment. You've heard the motion on the Standing Committee amendment. A question has been called. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. The ayes have it. Now we're back on the main motion, Representative Court.
All right. Senate file number 109 introduces us to the legalities of auto cycles. It differentiates auto cycles from motorcycles and explains the similarities of the auto cycle with motorcycles and other motor vehicles. So, on page 2, lines 11 through 14, that defines auto cycles and includes them as motor vehicles. Page 2, lines 19 through 20, explains that the same provisions for license plates for motorcycles also apply to auto cycles. Page 3, line 8, adds auto cycles to motorcycles and multipurpose vehicles for defining the registration fee. And as we just discussed, we voted in the committee to increase the registration fee for auto cycles from $12 to $25. The top of page 4, including lines 9 through 10, explains that only one auto cycle may be driven per lane. This is different from motorcycles, as two motorcycles can be driven side by side in the same lane based on the consent of both drivers of the motorcycles. Pages 5 through 8 explain how auto cycles fall under the same rules as passenger cars, motorcycles, and pickup trucks when it comes to being able to exceed the speed limit by 10 miles per hour for passing purposes and having to be equipped with headlights, taillights, turn signals, rear reflectors, if more than 50 inches in width. And last but not least, page 9, lines 17 through 19, explains that any person licensed to drive any class of vehicle pursuant to this section may also drive an automobile as defined in statute. In other words, you don't need a motorcycle license to drive an auto cycle. If you are licensed to drive a car, you can drive an auto cycle. So, any questions?
Question having been called. All those in favor of Chairman Eklund's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a recommendation that Senate File 109 do pass, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Ayes have it. Senate File 109 is passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 115. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
Senate File 115, sponsored by Senator Christensen. Malicious cruelty to animals, an act relating to crimes and offenses. This bill is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Baker, Biteman, Jennings, Kirkbride, Olson, Pelkey, Pannell, Salazar, and Winters. Signed, Representative Kirkbride, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 115 do pass. For the explanation, I turn it over to our good colleague from the land of close encounters in House District 1.
Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I bring you Senate File 115, and if you'll look at the front of this piece of legislation, I think the members of the 64th that will notice that most of them are co-sponsors. So going to page 2 where the actual bill is, what we're talking about is acts with malicious intent in any manner. This does not include death. Killing an animal is already a felony. when you act maliciously trying to injure that animal. So this just handles it as far as if you're not intending to kill the animal or the animal doesn't die, but yet you're still acting maliciously and trying to cause harm, poison, seriously injure, destroy any livestock or domesticated animal. I'll stand for any questions or turn it over to the Committee of the Whole Amendment.
Chairman Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. At this time, I'll move Committee of the Whole Amendment number one to Senate File 115. I, too, am a co-sponsor on this legislation. I like the idea. I agreed to co-sponsor only if I had the freedom to amend it, and so I have. As the presenter of the bill read how the bill reads, let me present to you what I think is cleaner language, and I'll let you decide. With the standing or with the Committee of the Whole Amendment, it would now read, a person commits aggravated cruelty to animals if he shoots, poisons, or otherwise intentionally acts to seriously injure or destroy any livestock or domesticated animal owned by another person while the animal is on the property of the animal owner. So the reason I made these changes is I see things like malicious intent in any manner. It gives me a little bit of pause. I also, the language in of itself was a bit awkward when we said another person while the animal is on the property owned by that person and so forth. The third concern I had, and which is stricken out here, and I want to make sure the body understands before they vote on this, is that provision about on which the animal is authorized to be present. In many of our districts, we have common grazing allotments. And so that creates a bit of a problem. And so we just dialed that back just a little bit. That would mean that I went on somebody else's property and shot their animal, their dog, or their livestock, and then that means I would be guilty of this. I'm just trying to clean it up. I hope I achieve that, and I'll stand for any questions.
Question?
No.
Question hasn't been called.
Whoa.
Sorry. I'm sorry. Majority Whip Summers.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Honor and support of the amendment. We really did need this cleanup to make sure we weren't capturing more felons than we needed to, and I think it really does make a better bill out of it, and I appreciate the good chairman of Minerals for doing the cleanup work. Honor and support of the amendment.
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a quick question to the bringer of the amendment. So the way I read this, I guess, does this mean I can't shoot my lame horse on my own property and or put down my own dog or anything like that in the case that I would need to absolutely have to hire a veterinarian or something along those lines in order to put down an animal? The term malicious, in my opinion, is what delineated that factor. And so I guess if I could just get that clarified, I'd appreciate it.
Chairman Greer.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And a great question, and I'll just point out this still says or destroy, so shoots, poisons, or intentionally injures, and it talks to their livestock or domesticated animal owned by another person. So that would not prohibit you from doing whatever it is you want to do with your own animals.
Representative Lone.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One more question for the bringer of the amendment. He specifically mentioned shooting and poisoning, but there are other instances where people have attempted to skin animals alive and so forth. A particular instance of that happened in my community. So I wanted to see why we left out things like using knives to injure and so forth. Thank you.
Chairman Greer.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Another good question. And we still left this in. Shoots, poisons, or otherwise intentionally acts to seriously injure. So that's sort of that catch-all for those twisted individuals that do things like that.
Yeah. Question having been called. I'm sorry. Representative Barlow. Mr. Chairman Barlow, excuse me.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, ladies and gentlemen, I actually do this at the request of people because I euthanize livestock on behalf of people's at their request. So if there's, I just, the malicious part was actually important to me at the component. So I want to be clear that the way I read this, that now I could be charged with a misdemeanor. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman Greer.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, another good question. And I think that question is one that would necessitate, if this amendment is adopted, would necessitate a without permission and would be an appropriate addition to this legislation. Yeah. Yeah.
Other questions? Oh, excuse me, Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and just in agreement with what the bringer of the amendment and work on a second reading amendment to clear that up. But just for the body's knowledge, this is not a misdemeanor. This is a felony act. And I'll bring to once the amendment's passed, I'll talk about that felony act. Question.
Representative Olson.
Okay, Mr. Chairman. I think rather than come back on another amendment to try to clean this up, maybe we can divide the amendment.
Lord.
No? On and in favor of the amendment.
Bless you, Representative Olson. Hearing the question been called, all those in favor of Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 115, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Ayes have it. We're back on the bill. Question having been called. All those in favor of, all those in favor of we have another amendment? All those in favor of Chairman Kirkbride's motion when Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a recommendation that Senate File 115 do pass. Please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
Senate File 115 is passed Committee of the Whole. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 77. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
Senate File 77, sponsored by Senator Bebout. Capital Oversight Group Membership, an act relating to state property and buildings. Mr. Chairman, this bill was referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass with the following amendment. Ayes, Representatives Burkhart, Larson, Nicholas, Schwartz, Walters. Noes, Representatives Summers and Wilson. Signed, Representative Nicholas, Chairman.
Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move when the Committee of the Whole rise and report. It does so with a recommendation of do pass for Senate File 77, and I will explain the bill. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a... has to do with the Capital Oversight Group membership, and the Senate wanted to add two essentially ex officio members, and the purpose of adding those two members is because there was a significant loss of all of the folks that were really originally on this committee, and five or six new people on this committee. So the governor requested, and along with the president of the Senate, that they allowed two ex-officio non-voting members, so the possibility of having prior members that can keep us keep everyone informed of the past history and what's gone on through the process, and so that's the purpose of the bill. So we request your favorable consideration.
We have an
amendment. Oh, is there amendment?
Was that mine?
Yes. There is a standing committee amendment.
And I would move the standing committee amendment and also provide the explanation. All this does is change the term from December 31st, 1919, to when the project is complete, just to be safe that the project gets, that the committee, the oversight committee, lasts until the capital is done. We really think it'll be done on May 2019. But so first, I'd ask for your move the standing commitment number one. I ask for your favorable vote.
Question. Question on the amendment.
Question has been called. You've heard the motion on the standing committee amendment. The question has been called. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Ayes have it. We're back on the bill.
Question on the bill.
Mr. Chairman.
I'm sorry. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Just some comments on the bill. It's a, you know, being one of the new members on this particular committee, there's only actually one member returning from the House. So some institutional memory would be helpful in this. So that's the genesis of the bill.
Chairman Zwanitzer, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Against the bill, and I know a lot of us are new, but originally we set up about this project when we had an advisory committee that was made up of six legislators and deputies and people from our agencies that work with this group. And then I actually came before you in 2014 where we established an oversight group that was only going to make the final recommendation on the plans for the building, and then if any change order came over $100,000, that's the only time the oversight group would meet. Little did I know at that point, the advisory task force would only meet twice more since that, and the oversight group became this weekly, if not, well, let's say quarterly, if not monthly, meeting group. So I'd submit to you that the advisory task force is still here. Five of the six members of that and all the deputies, besides one, are still here, and we'd be happy to continue the work of the Capitol as originally envisioned without having to bring back former legislators, because there's still a lot of legislators in the body who have a pretty good knowledge base of the project. It just kind of depends on who's in power and who gets to be on the committee.
Representative Lone.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just wanting to see if there were individuals in mind for these new appointees. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Further comments? Question having been called. All those in favor of Chairman Nicholas's motion that the Committee of the Whole rise to report it, do so with a recommendation that Senate File 77 do pass. Please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Division being called. All those in favor, please stand. Okay, those opposed. The motion's adopted 29 to 24. Senate File 77 having passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File number 140. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
Senate File 140, sponsored by Senator Von Vleteren. I-80 Project Master Plan, an act relating to highways. Mr. Chairman, this bill was referred to Committee No. 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass with the following amendment. Ayes, Representatives Brown, Crank, Edwards, Eklund, Laux. Noes, Representatives Blackburn, Blake, Court, Piperinen. Signed, Representative Eklund. Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. Your pleasure, Chairman Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with recommendation that Senate file number 140 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment 1 to the bill, and I'll dispense of the amendment, and I will explain the bill. What the amendment does is pulls the appropriation out, began with a, came to us with a $300,000 appropriation. That appropriation's taken an interesting journey. On the other side, it started with $300,000. It was amended down to $100,000 by the committee and then amended back up by the Appropriations Committee to $300,000, and then we took it out altogether. So anyway, there is no appropriation for this. This conversation came about because of a new administration that brought up this idea that we're going to have some changes in major infrastructure around the country. We have coming up probably within our lifetimes the biggest single project on the I-80 corridor that's ever been done, and that'll be the I-80 I-25 interchange. That thing is going to cost, we think, somewhere around $300 million to fix, to change. It's, right now it's a clover leaf and it's kind of a mouse trap, and there's a lot of traffic there. It wouldn't work if there were more traffic. The I-80 corridor is a major corridor for the whole country, Wyoming especially, because it's so expensive to keep up. It's heavily traveled. There are possibilities that parts of the highway, maybe the whole highway, would be changed to a three-lane. This study, the discussion of this study is being done now so that we can get a kind of a jump on whatever the present administration decides concerning funding of these major projects. We thought we ought to have something as shovel-ready as possible. And this thing, the amount of money involved here is something that we're not going to have, at least in the foreseeable future. So if there are grants available for worthy projects, we thought we'd just get a head start on it. It'll be an interim topic, we hope, as well. So I guess with that, I'll stand for questions.
Question. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess maybe I'm kind of simple-minded, but without the appropriation, I don't understand what the purpose of the bill is, because isn't it the agency's job to think ahead anyway without our instruction?
Chairman Eklund?
They are thinking ahead. We've got a few of the plans. If you want to see what that interchange will look like, you could check, I think, with any of the Transportation Committee. This is going to be an extra study that we had not really intended to do. They'll be taking money out of some source to do this. As far as thinking ahead and having a, we had a study in 2008, 2009. It was mostly on tolling, and that study will be combined, the study that we had previously will be combined with this study that we have to try to figure out what we do about these major accidents. We had a pile up on the west side of the state involving I don't know how many vehicles, but it's a lot of vehicles on two little lanes of traffic. So it's as much as anything, we're going to be addressing safety issues in this study, and we want to be ready with a full study for people that or for the present administration when they come up with this plan that's supposed to be unveiled.
Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate you mentioning the study that was done in 2008-2009. I understand that was the second study that was done, and so I'm wondering what this is contemplating even further. The second thing is also, how do you accomplish it without the funding? I agree with you as far as trying to figure out how to best fund that particular roadway. It's one of the most important roadways across the country. And we need to make sure that we're funding it well in the state of Wyoming. But I just question what this particular bill will do to further that particular cause. Thank you.
Representative Crank.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I think I can help with that. YDOT continually has projects. You know, they're talking $100 million a year in improvements, and they move them in back and forth between what they have available to do and whatnot, and they just indicated that they could simply slide something, move this in, and get the study done. And the part of the amendment that the committee changed was it looks like it's a real quick time frame to get all this stuff done. And so rather than, if you look in the original bill, they were going to be all done by September, and we made it just to get preliminary done. They're just trying to get a step ahead. If something changes at the federal level, that they have a plan in place, so that we're talking projects that are like a $1 billion project maybe be out there. So it was just a chance to get them rolling ahead of time, and we did pull the appropriation out, and they would just be internal.
Chairman Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think to add to that, the project with the bridges and the interstate as it is to rebuild it, and they tell me it is at the end of its life, is a $3-4 billion project, which the state of Wyoming, with our budget, isn't going to be able to handle that. Also, you know, with the appropriation, I think that pulling that appropriation will help our department that handles this to be as efficient as possible.
Representative Steinmetz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just have a question on page 4, I, on line 15, about the tolling feasibility studies. In Article 3, Section 27 of the Constitution, it prohibits tolling on roads, and so I just wondered if you could answer that question, why we're studying that.
Chairman Eklund.
Did we vote on the amendment?
No, sir.
I would call for the question if there's no further discussion so that we can get on with doing this right on the amendment. Amendment number one.
You've heard the motion on the standing committee amendment.
Thank you.
And the question having been called, the standing committee amendment number one, all those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Standing Committee Amendment number one has been adopted. Now we're back on the bill. Chairman Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Sorry about my mistake there. I think I'll try to pay attention better. To the previous question about tolling, what we discovered in that study is that you can't have tolling on existing roadways, and you cannot have tolling on highways or roads that have federal funding in them. So what the study found, that a third lane that would be a truck lane, if built with private funds, could be tolled. That'll be studied. I know it's an unpopular part of it, but it will be studied because it's maybe the only way we can get that third lane in there, and borrowing private money to build the lane and then pay for it with the tolling. In the study, we've got to go through quite a lot. It's going to be very involved. There will be trucks the tolling is only going to be on I-80. There will be trucks that will figure out how to go a different route. We've got to know not only how many trucks are affected and how much this thing would cost, we've got to know how many of them will be diverted a different direction or out of there. So all of that is going to be combined and added to the study that was previously done on tolling. So it is unconstitutional to use the federal dollars to do it, and we can't do it on existing roads. It would have to be new structures.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And if the good chairman of transportation could just help me understand, I'm trying to figure out why we need legislation to have the Department of Transportation do this study. I would think, as astute as they are, that they're probably already engaged in doing this. I'm not quite understanding why we need to be involved in this process. If can't we just...
Chairman Madden.
Yeah, just briefly. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Years ago, I was on that committee, and we did a study on I-80 and the possibility of tolling it and adding another lane. And I just want to make sure that you people have read that over before you wrote this bill up. Basically, the essence of it was that if you built another lane on using the toll, it would have to be such a high toll that your traffic would divert. And if you had a reasonable toll, you don't have enough money to build the other lanes. And we kind of tossed up our hands and gave up on it at that time. But there is a study. It was approximately 2009 or maybe 2011, right in that general area. And it was a well-done study, and I think we paid money for it, so it's got to be good.
Question. Oh, sorry. Representative Blake.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was a no vote in committee. Just going to tell you why. This is stuff that should already be done. Quite a few years ago, we had the ARRA, I think it was called, American Recovery and Something Act. YDOT, the agency that does our roads, got more contracts because they had shovel-ready projects. What they wanted was $300,000 out of the LISR to do this study. That's why I was a no vote. I was still a no vote even after we stripped the appropriation out. So I'm not sure if we even need this bill. So I would say no on the bill. Thank you.
Question. Chairman Eklund.
Let me answer the question on why this should be brought to the legislature. First off, it did have an appropriation. It did go through the Senate. And I think it's important for the full legislature to be aware that this is being studied. We have hundreds of bridges. We've got an infrastructure that's beyond its lifespan, which was supposed to be 50 years, and it still seems to be going on. And we do not have a shovel-ready plan. This is 2008, 2009 that a tolling study was done. The whole study on the whole highway has not been done, and very, very preliminary ideas have come up on this interchange, which again is, so we're looking at 300. I think you need to be aware that this is going on because we have $300 million in an interchange coming up that's got to be done eventually, and we've got $3 to $4 billion on a project. And how do you do it? Do you do it in phases? Do you do three lanes on all of it or part of it or what's to be done? And we've got a new administration with some new ideas and probably a different funding idea.
Representative Grant.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I'll try to be brief. The study was from state line to state line across I-80. And one of the big issues was it would help prioritize stuff. There's between Rock Springs and Green River is the highest traffic volume in the state, and that would help maybe prioritize that ahead of thing. The other part, it did originally have money in it, and the committee pulled that out, but we did leave in a deadline to get it done so we have a time frame for the commission. So I'll try to be brief. Some folks are falling asleep back here, and urge your support of the bill. Thank you.
Question. Question has been called. All those in favor of Chairman Eklund's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a recommendation that Senate File 140 do pass, please indicate saying aye. Opposed?
No.
Motion has failed. Pursuant to... I'm sorry, standing division first. All those in favor of the motion indicate, or stand, please. Indicate by standing. Sorry. Thank you. Those opposed, please stand. What you got? So 31 against. Please have a seat. Now, pursuant to House Resolution 10-5B, the bill having been failed, a voice vote, a standing division vote is required. Now, that having been failed, the chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen, excused. Baker, aye. Barlow, aye. Whiteman excused. Blackburn?
No.
No. Blake?
No.
No. Bovey? No. Brown?
Aye.
Aye. Burkhart?
Aye.
Aye. Bird?
No.
No. Clausen?
No.
Clem?
No.
No. Connolly?
Yep.
No. Court?
Aye.
Aye. Crank?
Aye.
Aye. Dayton? No. Edwards?
Aye.
Aye. Eklund?
Aye.
Aye. Ayer?
Aye.
Flitner?
Aye.
Aye. Freeman?
No.
No. Furphy?
Aye.
Aye. Giroux?
Aye.
Aye. Gray?
No.
No. Greer?
No.
No. Haley?
Aye.
Aye. Hallinan?
Aye.
Aye. Halverson?
No.
No. Henderson?
Aye.
Aye. Hunt?
No.
No. Jennings?
No.
No. Kinner?
Aye.
Aye. Kirkbride?
Aye.
Aye. Larson Lloyd?
No.
No. Larson Dan?
No.
Lindholm?
No.
No. Lone?
No.
No. Laux?
Aye.
McGuire?
No.
No. Madden?
Aye.
McKim?
No.
No. Miller?
No.
No. Nicholas?
No.
No. Northrup?
Yes.
Aye. Obermuller?
No.
No. Olson? No. Paxton?
Aye.
Pelkey?
No.
No. Pieperinen?
No.
No. Ponell?
Aye.
Salazar?
No.
No. Schwartz?
No.
No. Summers?
No.
No. Steinmetz?
No.
No. Sweeney?
Aye.
Aye. Walters?
No.
No. Wilson?
No.
No. Winters?
No.
No. Zawanitzer?
Aye.
Aye. Mr. Speaker?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 25 aye, 33 no, 2 excused.
Pursuant to House Rule 10-5B, Senate File 140, having failed the roll call vote, is indefinitely postponed. Or what you said. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File number 28. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
Senate File 28, sponsored by Management Council, Revisers Bill, an act relating to the revision of errors in legislation. Mr. Chairman, this bill was referred to Committee Number 12, Rules and Procedures, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Burkhart, Connolly, Greer, Harshman, Larson, Madden, Miller, Nicholas, Pelkey, Summers, Walters, Wilson. Excused, Northrop. Signed, Representative Harshman, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Mr. Speaker?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the committee of the whole rise to report, I do so with the recommendation that Senate File 28 do pass, and I further turn the explanation of the revisor's bill over to the good Speaker Pro Tem.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the annual revisor's bill. And for the new people, this is a bill we get every session where LSO goes through or we find them and correct errors, omissions, incorrect references, spelling even. And that's what the bill does. It doesn't change the meaning of anything. It merely corrects those technical things that we find during the year. And, for example, if you go to page 2, the first correction is to change the reference to the correct reference. Page 3 changes justices to circuit court, which is the correct terminology. A word here, a word there. One of the big changes you'll see in here on page 4, you'll see talk of volunteer firemen's pension fund, and that's been changed to volunteer firefighter and EMT pension account, which is the correct name. 2 years ago, that fund was changed, combined, and they just missed this in other portions of statute. And that's pretty much, that's one of the big changes in here, is the firefighter and EMT pension account, and that, and a few other things, again, references. If you go back to page 13, you'll see a spelling correction. Sometimes things just aren't spelled correctly, so they're fixed in the revisor's bill. And that's pretty much the revisor's bill. If there are no questions, I'll call for the question.
Question having been called, all those in favor of Speaker Hushman's motion that when the committee of the whole rises to report, it do so with recommendation that Senate File 28, do pass. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Senate File 28 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for your consideration is Senate File 29. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
Senate File 29, sponsored by Management Council. Legislative Employees, an act relating to the legislature. Mr. Chairman, this bill was referred to Committee Number 12, Rules and Procedures, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Burkhart, Connolly, Greer, Harshman, Larson, Madden, Miller, Nicholas, Pelkey, Summers, Walters, Wilson. Excused, Northrop. Signed, Representative Harshman, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Mr. Speaker?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the committee of the whole rise and report to do so with a recommendation that Senate File 29 do pass, and I turn the explanation of the bill over to the good representatives from House District 7.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a pretty easy bill, folks. We have sort of an HR situation. In the Constitution, we are directed that the legislature shall prescribe by law the numbers, duties, and compensation of the employees of each house. Obviously, while we're gone, and in any case, even here, 60 people don't do HR management for employees. So long-standing practice has been for the Speaker and the President to do that, and you will see we are just codifying that. So if you look on page 2, top of the page, you can see we have inserted flowing from the turn, page turn, employed by either house shall at all times serve at the will of the presiding officer of that house. So that's just codifying the actual day-to-day management of that. And then 28.3.103 speaks specifically to Senate employees. 28.4.103 speaks specifically to House employees. They're the same in both of those paragraphs B, and what they have done there in B is insert in that this, I'll just read from the Senate one, may authorize personnel to be employed beyond the adjournment of the session. The Constitution refers specifically to session, but you all know if you wander by here looking for name tags or some such thing is that they're often here a little bit ahead. They stay afterwards to tidy up after us. There's no change to the funding or anything like that. It just clarifies they don't have to just start on the first day of session and depart the last day of session. So we're saying beyond the adjournment and prepare for each session. Other than that, there's nothing much else to this. So I will, I'm seeing people moving, but I will be glad to answer questions.
Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So my question is, so you can let someone go, but when I read the language on page one, it says it takes the House or the Senate or the House of Representatives to actually employ somebody. So we're not giving authority to our presiding officers outside of the time of the legislature to actually rehire someone for a position that they have taken someone out of. I guess that's my question, and if that could be addressed, thank you.
Chairman Swanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's a pretty similar question to that, but it does, maybe someone needs to explain, and it might be historical practice, but I don't think it's in law, that we all as a body agree to the list of employees, but the way I read it says whoever the presiding officer is can, I guess, fire at will, and I'm not sure if that's only when the legislature is in session or if that's in the interim as well, and I was maybe wondering if we could say with the advice or consultation of the majority and minority leaders or if that needs to be tightened up some because it just makes me feel uneasy, and I was wondering if there's any commentary in the committee about that.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As to the first question, if you recall, on I think it was the first day of session, we're given a list of all the staff, and there's a motion made that we basically hire the staff. So that's actually, you've all participated in that action. As far as additional people, and I don't know if someone that was further involved might want to speak to that, but I would just say from kind of an HR perspective, it's kind of a tough deal to have committee decisions along those lines. I think that we choose those presiding officers to represent us in that area. I don't have a further comment on that.
Question having been called, all those in favor of the Speaker's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 29 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Senate File 29 is passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for your consideration is Senate File 108. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
Senate File 108, sponsored by Management Council, lawsuits challenging state legislative acts, an act relating to civil procedures. Mr. Chairman, this bill was referred to Committee Number 12, Rules and Procedures, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass with the following amendment. Ayes, Representatives Burkhart, Connolly, Greer, Harshman, Larson, Madden, Miller, Nicholas, Pelkey, Summers, Walters, and Wilson. Excused, Northrup. Signed, Representative Harshman, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Mr. Speaker?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 108 do pass, and I'd turn the explanation of the bill over to the good representative from House District 27.
Chairman Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First, I'll move the standing committee amendment. And I'll take you through that very quickly, and then I'll explain the bill. It seems to work the best. If you turn to page two, you know what? Maybe I'll explain the bill first and then go through the standing committee amendment. But I did move that. So, all right. As we realize, world's more litigious. And so I think a citizen's right to bring suit is absolute. I've never questioned that at all. But what this bill is doing is stating that when the action of the legislature is taken, or the action of the House, or the action of the Senate, or the action of a committee is a question or the subject matter of a lawsuit, that it is proper to name that committee and not the individual legislators. And so this was a discussion through the interim on management council to accomplish that. We also have done that with respect to individual legislators acting outside of their official capacity. This is an official act, challenging an official act of a legislator. Then that would be their house district. Now, my district, it wouldn't really matter, okay? But all the same. Now, the reason for that, and you'll find the findings, which are part of the cleanup of the findings, to simplify the language that is in there, is because we are a citizen legislature. And if I am named individually in a lawsuit for the action of a committee I serve on, or for the action of this House, or for the action of the legislature in a whole, I have to disclose that. With respect to my professional license. I have to disclose that with respect to my day job as serving in an executive capacity. And it also affects my ability to bond. And so we want to, as a citizen legislature, be able to continue to do that, to be able to still have our day jobs. Now, it doesn't prohibit lawsuits. It's just saying that if an action of a committee or an action of this body or of the legislature as a whole is the subject matter of a lawsuit, that is who the named party should be. So with that, I'll ask to go ahead and take any questions on standing committee amendment, and then I'll answer any questions with respect to the legislation itself.
Question's been called on the amendment. This is Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1 to Senate File 108. Standing Committee. Standing Committee Amendment number 1 to Senate File 108. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Ayes have it. We're back on the bill. Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A little background on this bill. We have a Capitol Oversight Committee that has been managing the construction of the Capitol, and they haven't been getting competitive bidding on contracts, and that's a clear violation of Article 3, Section 31 of our state constitution. It's very clear. And so there was a lawsuit. People were named individually. They didn't like that. It's not surprising they didn't like that, but they didn't like it. And now they don't want to be named. So we have this bill. And I'd ask for a no vote on this bill. This is one of the big reasons why people, when I campaigned, I was very disturbed by the lack of faith in our, but it's understanding. It's understandable when you see bills like this. There are some huge constitutional issues here. I can think of this is a free speech violation, host of other things, and also this is what the founders were concerned about, that we would have elected officials suddenly trying to exempt themselves from lawsuits. And this is something that is not in anywhere near what the founders, this is what the founders were concerned about. And we're all responsible for our actions in life. We're all responsible for what we do every day, and we're responsible for what we do as elected officials. And I ask for a no vote on this bill.
Before we go on, I want to make sure everyone knows that the standing committee amendment was adopted. Now, Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I might try and share being on the flip side of that just a little bit. I think that the bill indicates that if we think that there's something that's in violation of law, that the committee can be have a lawsuit brought against them and have that that problem rectified. So let me just share with you that a few years ago, the Speaker of the House assigned me to sit on a committee. And that's what we do in this body. So we're putting along, trying to do our best, ensuring that the bidding process is being complied with. And I would share with you that had we not been there, the bidding process may not have been functioning as well as perhaps it could have done. And this wasn't on the committee that the good representative from the middle part of the state is talking about. And then the next thing I read in the paper is, and I get a notice from the Attorney General that me and a couple of other good representatives in here serving on that committee are now named in the same lawsuit. Has nothing to do with this structure here in Cheyenne. And so now, for the last 2 years, every time I go through a bidding process in my personal business where I'm asked if I'm engaged or if I've been named in a lawsuit, I have to disclose that. And when I go in and take care of some financial affairs, they want to know if I'm part of any type of lawsuit. Well, yeah, because of this high-paying position we have in the legislature and because I've agreed to serve the constituency of the state, being elected by them, coming and meeting multiple times trying to move things forward, I have to worry about how this is going to affect my personal well-being and, of course, that of my family and everybody else. Now, if we as a committee were doing something wrong in the capacity of a legislature, okay, I get that. There's recourse there, as well there should be. But when I'm acting in the capacity of my position as elected official to be named specifically, I think is really problematic for not only me, but for each and every one of you. Now we come down here this year, and we've had some changes in the committee that I was involved in, and we had to get some new members from the House of Representatives. I was really nervous about asking or recommending to the good speaker anybody, because as soon as we assigned them to be on that committee, they were going to be named in the lawsuit. And so it puts them in the same position that I've been in for the last several years. Fortunately, that's kind of been resolved. But if we have to make a determination on how we serve our state, our constituents, and the leadership of this House, knowing that we could each be personally named in lawsuits in the capacity of our service, I think really limits the ability of us to put forth our 100% without questioning, man, if I do this, if I do this, am I going to be maliciously named in a suit when I haven't been part of anything? So I would really encourage you to support this bill. I fully agree that there needs to be recourse. If we're doing something that is in violation of the Constitution, in violation of state statute, we need to be held accountable. There's a process for that. But being able to be named individually on that in a capacity of a committee or of a position of leadership, I think is really problematic. And so I'd encourage you to support this bill.
Majority Whip Summers.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. On in support of the bill, I fully concur with my good partner on appropriations. And really, if we do something not within our official capacity, then and we do something wrong, then yes, we should be sued. There's all kinds of issues out there that we could do things that are improper that we should be sued. But if we're in our official capacity, then that lawsuit should be against that committee, should be against the legislature, should be against one body or the other. If there's some really egregious thing that needs a lawsuit, and we need to protect the ability to be a citizen legislature and not be a professional legislature. We come down here for a very short period of time. We go back to our own lives, and that's really what makes the Wyoming legislature special, is that we go back to being regular citizens, regular employers, employees, retirees, whatever it is, participants in society. And that's what makes us, I think, unique. And when we don't want to create a condition where even more people refuse to run for these positions. We want to make sure average ordinary citizens always feel like that they can be a legislator, that they can put their name in the hat, that it doesn't take a rich guy to be in there because he's the only one that can afford to defend himself. We don't want to get to that position. So on in favor of the bill.
Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There's a lot of arguments here that aren't connecting. For one, when you're sued in this capacity, disclosing that you've been sued, it's not going to affect anything. You're disclosing it, and people are going to see what is going on and that this is a dispute about what the legislature is doing. That's part of what we're doing here. And unconstitutionally now saying that you're not going to be sued individually, that's really problematic. And I'd submit to you that disclosing that you've been sued, that's what you should do. There's nothing that's going to affect that particular business arrangement. People do that all the time. And if you don't want to be accountable for what you're doing here, then that is part of a qualification of running for this. And so I think we need to be held accountable for what we do here. This is pretty clearly unconstitutional, and I do think it will be challenged. But please vote no here.
Chairman Greer.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. In particular, with the suit that was mentioned, it was the actions of that committee. So if I were on that committee and I voted no every single time and named in that lawsuit, that would be agreeing with the position that was put forth by the previous speaker. What we're saying with this is that you would name that committee. And what are you looking for? You're looking for redress for the actions of that particular committee. And that's what that particular lawsuit was looking for. So why name the individual legislators? Because it does negatively affect our ability to conduct business. It does affect our ability. Now, I'm not saying that it isn't appropriate for a citizen of this state to challenge the actions of what we do here. But what we're saying is that all the actions that we take in a committee or as a body as a whole means that that body as a whole is named. Because very seldom do we have unanimous votes. So with that, I mean, I'm sure this debate will go on and on. We won't agree on that, but we need to think about that.
Minority Floor Leader Connolly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And just to put a point on what the good former speaker just said, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to break decorum here and give you an illustration. In this body, I am referred to as the good representative from House District 13, or referred to as the Madam Minority Floor Leader, over and over and over again. And we do that for a purpose. That's our work here. We are not Kathy Connolly. Right? You don't hear my name in this context. Somebody could have called me out on it, and rightfully so. When I do my work here, I am the good representative from House District 13 or a member of a committee. That's what I do in my official capacity. And what this bill does is talk about us in our roles in our official capacity and asks that when we are sued in our official capacity, which I love the ability that we as citizens can sue and sue each other and sue this body, but please sue me in my official capacity as the good representative from House District 13 or as the Madam Minority Floor Leader, not Kathy Connolly. So I'm in favor of this bill.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, folks, let me just share with you, because I think there might be some left with the impression that So if you're sued personally, no big deal. That just happens. That's you just respond to that. That's what takes place. But I take that a little more serious than that, and just share with you that. So then when I go into the bank to take care of some financial affairs, they want to know if I'm in any sort of litigation, and I point out that I'm settled in a suit, and as an individual. Well, then the question is what are going to be the civil consequences of that lawsuit, and is that going to impede his ability to pay back any sort of loan? Is that going to impact his ability to complete a job that he now has bonding, that he's trying to get bonding for? Does that affect his ability to work for people who have a master service agreement with him? And I'm here to tell you, it does. And so any of these, you know, those are not things that an individual takes lightly. And so I agree with the good minority leader, that, you know, if you've got an issue again, we should be held accountable for that as a body, as a committee. But when you're asked to serve and you do so, you should be able to expect to know that any suit that's brought against won't be against you individually. If it does, it just discourages anybody from participating, as has already been mentioned. So again, I would urge you to support this bill. Yet the ramifications of this bill are pretty huge.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the bill. And I would like to make plain that I have not sued anybody, and I'm not being sued either. So I think I can speak from pure disinterestedness. And as a previous speaker said, when we are in this body, we are referred to by our position, not by our name. And if you will look closely at the bill, it doesn't say that we can't sue the legislator. If you look at the bottom of page 1, it says, the proper party shall be the legislature of the state of Wyoming. And then down on line 7, through 9, in any action challenging any official act, the legislator shall be designated by the office held. So to say, well, people are trying to avoid being sued, that's not correct. The point is that citizens are free to sue all they want, all of the things that you're doing here, but you should be sued in your official capacity. And really, I look at this as One of the reasons why we refer to each other by our titles and our districts is to maintain a certain level of civility. And I think even if there are lawsuits complaining about what the legislature does, we should strive to maintain that level of civility that complains about your fault in your official capacity and refer to you that way. If I go out in the parking lot and smash somebody's car window with a hammer, that's not my official capacity. Then I should be named by myself, and correctly so. But for your actions in this body, you need to be named as you are. And frankly, I think to insist that we can't be happy unless we can call you by your name, I'm not sure what the rationale would be for thinking that we have to be so personal. So on and for the bill.
Representative Lindholm.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I just wanted to bring to the body that we consistently throughout statute go through in Title I and say you can't sue or bring a case against certain people. Specifically, 1125, we're specifically exempt volunteer firefighters from having litigation brought to against them individually as volunteers. I'm paid to be here. It's not a bunch, but I'm paid to be here. So when we're looking at this and we're exempting out ourselves from being individually named, I mean, think about this. Just because we write this doesn't mean that you can't be sued, just like a volunteer firefighter can't be sued. I mean, we've got this statute that says you can't sue them, but, I mean, it happens. So in this aspect, when when we say you can't sue us, and then we set up this presumption on page 2 that you can go by and take action to petition to get your name brought off of something, the damage has already been done. So when you look at the findings on section 2, which I don't like findings, on page 3, section 2, the legislature finds, yada, yada, that this could be detrimental. Absolutely, it can be detrimental. And I'm not saying we shouldn't. I mean, who knows what we could all be sued for? I mean, we might take the wrong action. I mean, every once in a while, we go over this legislature pretty, we go over everything very in depth, and I'm proud of how things are vetted. But things happen. I mean, things go out the door, and to just exempt, try and say that we're going to exempt ourselves out, I think is, it hasn't proven to work. So why would it work in this situation? I guess would be the situation that I'm asking. And then in regards to the other electeds out there, I mean, that have all signed up to do this, I mean, look at the executive. Can the executive have this kind of legislation drafted where he or she cannot be named also in any kind of litigation? Would this body accept that kind of legislation? I would argue that we would not accept that kind of legislation, that we would reject it. So I guess if those questions can be answered, I'm not an attorney, so prove me wrong, I guess.
Representative Lone.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, the argument was raised that without this legislation being passed, we're going to deter people from wanting to run for office. And I just take a moment to look around this room at all these fine pictures on the walls of 63 legislative bodies that have been convened before us that have done this job without this legislation. So I think that argument that people aren't going to run for office because they're afraid they're going to get sued is a rather pitiful excuse based on what we can see on these walls. So I just ask that you take that into consideration as you look at this bill. Thank you.
Chairman Swanson.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I just have a question I can't quite figure out, need someone to explain. So if we pass this bill and we're sued, I'm just assuming if it's the legislature of the state of Wyoming, the attorney general, I think that's, I can use that, is required to defend us. Right now, if we're individually sued, do I get that same, I guess, legal counsel? And does that make a difference with this bill? If any act I do from here on forward, I'm the legislature of the state of Wyoming, I think that mandates, from what I understand, the AG defend. But right now, how does it work, or how did it work in the current instance, and is there anybody else concerned about that, or am I the only one?
Representative Jennings.
Mr. Speaker, I guess I just have a question that I wonder about a little bit with an unintended consequence. This addresses civil procedure, and I just wonder if anybody else thinks, well, in the aforementioned case, it seems like that might push more people to come after the higher level of that, you know, more of coming after us from, not from the standpoint of civil, but moving it more to the criminal side. And so I wonder if we might have an unintended consequence if we pass something like this also.
Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We had a speaker earlier say that this bill has huge ramifications. The ramifications are huge for our people. This bill is clearly unconstitutional. We all have to be accountable for what we do here. That's a principle of life and just the way it works. And I just would submit that respectfully, but that we all, when we're here, have to be willing to be held accountable.
Representative Hallinan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was a member of the hospital board in Campbell County, and we had immunity from lawsuits provided by the hospital. If somebody wanted to sue us, they had to sue the hospital. I think every major board, every major corporation has a similar kind of issue protecting their members. And for that reason, I think that this bill should be passed. We need to have protection for our members in their proper function. And I think it's a disgrace that our colleague has to be afraid of when he goes to the bank to get a loan. I think it's ridiculous. And I think we need to pass this bill to support our members. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Gray.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There's nothing to be afraid about. The person just discloses the situation, and it's dealt with once the disclosure is made. And that's part of being accountable in this life, to disclose what the actions you've made and you've been involved in. Thank you. And the other thing I would ask is, hold on. Is there anyone that was sued on the lawsuit we were talking about earlier that voted no on every single action? And I don't believe there was anybody that voted no on the bidding that was sued. So, thank you.
Question has been called. All those in favor of Speaker Harshman's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises, we do so report the recommendation that Senate File 108 do pass. All those in favor say aye. Opposed?
No.
The ayes have it. Senate File 108 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for your consideration is Senate File 21. Senate File 21. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
Senate File 21, sponsored by Senator Baldwin. Death certificates, an act relating to vital records. Mr. Chairman, this bill was referred to Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass with the following amendment. Ayes, Representatives Barlow, Clem, Dayton, Giroux, Hallinan, Halverson, McGuire, and Sweeney. Noes, Representative Lone. Signed, Representative Barlow, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. Your pleasure, Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the Committee of the Whole rises report. It does so with the recommendation that Senate File 21 do pass. And, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to explain the bill. In current statute, ladies and gentlemen, when someone passes, if there's an attended death, i.e. a physician knows the cause of death and has been attending to the patient, whether in a hospital or in a nursing care facility or et cetera, they can sign on the death certificate attesting to the cause of death. And as you know, in our state, we have other folks that have primary care health care responsibilities. And you'll look at the top of page 2. Those two additions to our current, and they're allowed to give care to our folks, advanced practice registered nurse or physician's assistants. So this bill, the only purpose of this bill is to allow those two other practitioner types to sign off on the death certificate of a known cause of demise, a known cause of demise. To be clear, if it's unattended death, a coroner is required. If it's a death of unknown circumstances, coroner, autopsy, etc. So this changes nothing about the current scheme. It just allows two other folks the ability to sign off on death certificates for folks that they were in attendance to at the time of the individual's death. I'd be glad to stand for any questions on the bill.
Standing committee amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There is a standing committee amendment, and what the standing committee amendment does is to make it effective immediately. So with that, I would move the standing committee amendment, ask for your favorable consideration.
Question has been called on standing committee amendment number 1. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
The ayes have it. Standing committee amendment number 1 has been adopted. Question on the bill. Question being called, all those in favor in Chairman Barlow's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a recommendation that Senate File 21 do pass. Please, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
The ayes have it. Senate File 22 has passed Committee of the Whole. 21, sorry, has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for your consideration is Senate File 99. Clerk will read the bill, sorry.
Senate File 99, sponsored by Senator Baldwin, Community and Rural Health Clinic Grants, Sunset Date. An act relating to community health centers and rural health clinics. Mr. Chairman, this bill was referred to Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass with the following amendment. Ayes, Representatives Barlow, Clem, Dayton, Garou, Hallinan, Halverson, Lone, McGuire, and Sweeney. Signed, Representative Barlow, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Barlow?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it does so with the recommendation that Senate File 99 do pass. And, ladies and gentlemen, I'll briefly explain a very short bill. Ladies and gentlemen, in 2011, because as we know, we're a rural state, we're trying to get health care, primary health care, throughout our state, the legislature adopted a mechanism to actually help communities, particularly smaller communities, get services there. In your box, there is a handout that my good Madam Vice Chairman sent around, and it'll outline about five communities where this actually was implemented. That was done with dollars at the state general fund dollars. Ladies and gentlemen, the program has, and we like to talk about sunsetting things, the program had a sunset date, and it's this June. We're at a point right now, ladies and gentlemen, with the challenges we have with healthcare as a nation, the policies we have, and the continuing challenges we have as a community within our communities in the state of healthcare. So the only thing this does, it doesn't add any new dollars because there are new dollars, but what we're anticipating is some flexibility and possibly some federal dollars to help assist in our rural state. Some latitude given by the federal government and potentially funding. So what we want to do is maintain, preserve the structure that we have that will allow us to get those dollars out in the communities. Now this program has matching dollars from within the county. It has lots of participation. This isn't just us telling them what to do. This is them pulling us to them, giving them the tool. They have the tools. We're just giving them some resources. So all we're doing is giving ourselves a little more time to see how this rollout of the healthcare, hopefully transformation in this country goes, and potentially get some dollars to those communities that are underserved. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I would stand for questions, and if there are none, call for the question.
Just on the date.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I apologize. I didn't bring a standing committee amendment with me. Apparently, there's a standing committee amendment to change the effective date to immediate, and I would move it and ask for favorable consideration.
Question having been called on.
Mr. Chairman, I apologize. Actually, the standing committee amendment changed the date from 22 to 21, and I apologize. The 22 to 21 is the difference between a budget session and a general session. And we thought it would be more appropriate to have this considered again during a general session instead of the higher threshold of a budget session. So my apologies, Mr. Chairman. Move standing committee number one and ask for favorable consideration.
Standing committee amendment number one having been moved, the question having been called, all those in favor of the standing committee amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Ayes have it. Now we're back on the bill. Question on the bill. Question being called, all those in favor of Chairman Barlow's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 99 do pass. All those in favor, indicate saying aye. Opposed? Senate File 99 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, I move the Committee of the Whole rise and report.
You have heard the motion from the Majority Floor Leader. All those in favor indicate saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
The motion carries.
The reading clerk will read the committee of the whole report. It's coming hot off the press.
February 24th, 2017. Mr. Speaker, our committee of the whole, having had under consideration bills on general file, beg leave to report as follows. Senate File 64, recommended do pass. Senate File 109, amended, recommended do pass. Senate File 115, amended, recommended do pass. Senate File 77, amended, recommended do pass. Senate File 140, amended. Following a failed roll call vote, the bill is deemed indefinitely postponed. Senate File 28, recommended do pass. Senate File 29, recommended do pass. Senate File 108, amended, recommended do pass. Senate File 21, amended, recommended do pass. Senate File 99, amended, recommended do pass. Signed, Representative Guru, Chairman.
Mr. Speaker, I move the adoption of the Committee of the Whole report.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no.
No.
Congratulations, Chairman Drew. Hey. Thank you. We have two standing committee reports.
Senate File 49, introduced by Capital Financing Investment Funds Committee, an act relating to state investments. Mr. Speaker, your committee number two, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 49, engrossed, Investment Funds Committee, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendment. Ayes, Representatives Burkhart, Larson, Nicholas, Schwartz, Summers, Walters, and Wilson. Signed, Representative Nicholas, Chairman. Senate File 165, introduced by Senator Landon. School Finance Education Funding Reductions, an act relating to school finance. Mr. Speaker, your committee number four, Education, to whom was referred Senate File 165, engrossed, School Finance Education Funding Reductions, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendment. Ayes, Representatives Bovee, Flitner, Freeman, Hunt, Northrum, Paxton, Piperinen. Noes, Representatives Brown and Kenner. Signed, Representative Northrup, Chairman.
Vice Chairman Paxton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to re-refer Senate File 165 to Committee Number 2, Appropriations.
Senate File 165 is re-referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Thank you. We have a few messages from the Senate, and then committee announcements, and then adjournment. Messages from the Senate.
Messages from the Wyoming Senate. Message number 368. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 28, approved depositories for public funds. Ayes 29, excused 1. Message 369. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill number 47, water rights procedures. Ayes 29, excused 1. Message number 370. Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 61, Collection of Antlers and Horns. Ayes 28, noes 1, excused 1. Message number 371. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill number 84, Workers' Compensation Delinquent Employers. Ayes 28, noes 1, excused 1. Message number 372. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 87, return of victim's property held as evidence. Ayes 29, excused 1. Message number 373. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 121, fishing licenses. Ayes 25, noes 4, excused 1. Message number 374, concurrence requested. Mr. Speaker, House Bill 159, homeless minors. The House bill listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 16, noes 13, excused 1. The Senate respectfully asks the House to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Message number 375, concurrence requested. Mr. Speaker, House Bill 165, Acupuncture Practice Act. The House bill listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as followed by the vote indicated. Ayes 26, noes 3, excused 1. The Senate respectfully asks the House to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Message number 376. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill number 171, Unemployment Insurance, Delinquency Contributions. Ayes 27, noes 2, excused 1. Message number 377. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 211, Developmental Preschool Payment Calculation Amendments. Ayes 29, excused 1. Message number 378. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 220, Ad Valorem Taxation Liens on Mineral Production. Ayes 28, noes 1. Message number 379, concurrence requested. Mr. Speaker, House Bill number 80, Transportation Network Companies. The House bill listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 26, excused 4. The Senate respectfully asks the House to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Message number 380, Joint Conference Committee Report, adopted. Mr. Speaker, House Bill number 78, Salvage Title Updates. The Senate adopted the Joint Conference Committee number 1 report on the bill listed by the vote indicated. Ayes 25, no, 1, excused, 4. Message number 381, Joint Conference Committee Report, adopted. Mr. Speaker, February 24, 2017, House Bill 192, Court Automation Fee 2. The Senate adopted the Joint Conference Committee number 1 report on the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 26, excused, 4. Message number 383, Joint Conference Committee Report, adopted. Mr. Speaker, February 24, 2017, Senate File Number 62, Telepharmacy Amendments. The Senate adopted the Joint Conference Committee Number 1 report on the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 28, excused 2. Signed, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk.
Committee announcements. Any committee announcements? Chairman Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Joint Conference Committee on Senate File 53 is composed of Clem and Blake and myself, and we will meet at 12:30 on Monday, so during the noon break, and with the Senate. So thank you.
Any other announcements? Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The your Joint Appropriations Committee will not meet on adjournment because the senators all went home. So that was part of the intern topics. We will do that again, I think, at noon on Monday. The JAC will meet at 8 o'clock to have an explanation and an orientation on the adopted joint supplemental budget, and that budget, ladies and gentlemen, will be presented to you on Monday morning at some point in time in order that we can get it between both houses and then out so that we can have it get to the governor on time, hopefully, depending on how many amendments you guys or what you do to it. But so, you know, in order that we can veto-proof it by the end of the week, next week. So,
any other announcements? Another good week of just working Senate files, members. Good job just making Senate files better. That's what we do down here. Great job. Those of you who are traveling, travel safe and be careful. And with that, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House adjourn until 9:30 a.m. Monday, February 27th, 2017.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. That motion has been adopted. The House is adjourned until Monday, February 27th at 9:30 a.m.